You're listening to Q-Talk Arizona. The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. This show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee on Q-Talk Arizona. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, good evening once again. 7 o'clock Tuesday night in a little stormy weather evening right here in the Valley of the Sun. It's only 109 degrees, something like that. It's breezy in the studio where it's currently 81 and kind of buzzing, if you know what I mean. Welcome. It's, again, the show with Clayton McKee. That's me. It is Q-Talk Arizona. We do this every Tuesday night, along with my cohorts in crime. We're all back in the studio. Ladies and gentlemen, Marnie Ryer's here.
Hi there.
Hello, Marn.
How are you?
Also, Buddy Early has managed to make it out of the drive-thru of Carl's Jr.
And I can confirm that if you go through the drive-thru at Carl's Jr., you will not want for napkins.
Well, you good, because I'm wanting for them.
he actually talked about I was going to... It's all right. Ladies and gentlemen, returning from the Big Apple, the Great White Way, and the Finger Lakes all in one trip. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Al Perkins.
Well, thank
you. Oh, my God. Welcome back, Al.
All over the great state of New York.
It was, wasn't it?
It was as if you never said goodbye.
I saw the entire empire, I have to tell you. Nose to tail.
And one time from tail to nose, depending on how you were laying. But here we are once again. We're all back together. Also joining us, apparently going to be our bartender this evening, Erin is here as well. Say hi, Erin. It's okay.
Hi, Erin. She
takes direction well.
Apparently, I got it. I mean, though, Erin's just back from a trip also. She went to D.C. and saw all kinds of exciting things. Apparently, you didn't get to go to the Washington Monument because it's closed indefinitely,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Well, no, they're fixing it from the earthquake from last
right.
year.
But
so,
like,
but for no end in sight.
Right. So it's indefinitely. Definitely yeah. closed for tourists,
yes.
apparently. Wow, that kind of
yes.
sucked. But you saw a lot of other things.
The reflecting pool is empty.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Not yeah. quite as reflective.
Not no. quite as reflective,
I
no.
understand. Still, I've got to do something very important.
Oh, technical.
Technical.
Wow, yeah, this good. Early in the show.
Well, we're good.
Oh, technical oh, difficulty. Everybody drink.
What the hell is all mm-hmm. that? We're very busy.
Oh,
my gosh. I don't know.
I spilled my beer all over that. That's okay, right?
Oh, that's well, yes. Well, the funny thing is about that sound, we hear it, but outside of this, nobody hears it.
Oh, that was what I was talking about earlier, though. Well, yeah. hopefully. Well, we'll find out later.
In post, where I like to clean up things in post. That's my favorite thing to do. Suffer through the entire show, editing out every little blip and thing. Oh, in fact, you probably didn't even catch a blip. I'll have to tell you about it later off the air. Otherwise, I'll have a blip in this show, too.
Oh, you did, about what you edited out last week?
Oh, how I fixed it?
Yes. Yes. Yes, yes, yes,
yes. Yes.
That's fantastic.
Not the pauses, but the other thing I
right,
said.
Right, right, right. Yeah, yeah, I know. Yeah. I know.
Having an audio editor at home is really handy because I can make this show say all kinds of things that we didn't intend to say,
okay.
or you know, maybe I could add something
nice.
In.
Yeah. Very good.
There you go.
Can you make me funnier? Is there any kind of technology?
I said it's an editor, not a miracle worker.
Exactly.
Let's go around the table as we always do at the beginning of each show and find out what everybody's doing. Buddy, would you like to take us a bite? I can start with Marnie.
No, it's cool. You know, the burger's going to be there.
It smells wonderful.
It is.
It's fat-free.
Yeah.
I hear Paula Western. Dean is doing a lot of their cooking now.
It's a Western bacon cheeseburger, and here's the thing. They're on sale at from our good friends at Carl's Jr.
Oh, not yet a sponsor.
Not yet. No. But I'm just
hoping. My niece says the show cut out.
Oh. The show cut out? I don't know how. We're still broadcasting according to this.
Well,
cut out for a minute,
everyone
or?
Except Al's niece can hear my story, apparently.
Okay, go ahead.
So here's the thing. I'm hoping if I say Carl's Jr., I don't care about the
You'll
sponsoring.
Get a free
burger. They'll just start sending me coupons and free stuff.
Sure.
But they're on sale for $1.99, and whenever I see something on sale at like a Carl's Jr. or something, I feel like I need to buy more than one, and so that's why you're going to see me eating a couple of Western bacon cheeseburgers.
Sure.
Because you lose money if you don't buy multiple
burgers. I agree. I understand.
You might as well use any Groupon you possibly can,
yes.
or just whatever promo they're currently doing. It's quite a... Marnie, my dear.
Hello, darling.
You're still celebrating the 4th. I see your shirt.
I am. I have the whole 4th of July thing.
You do? And I saw all the pictures you posted from the 4th.
Yes.
You had some funky star eyeglasses on.
I'm all about it.
I know you are.
I think the founding fathers are proud of how you celebrated.
Yeah, I think they would be.
I think that they would be, yes. I agree. And so I was thrilled. I love the 4th of July. It's fantastic.
You know what? It's funny because I saw the photos you're referring to of Marnie. And I'm like, this bitch loves 4th of July. Look at her in these photos.
Well, not in fairness, she loves every holiday.
Yeah,
she has a decoration. And
particularly
the
drinking holidays.
Well,
aren't
they all really?
Or we can turn them into that.
But she's got lights around the front perimeter of the fence on her yard, and she changes the color of the lights based on the holiday.
Valentine's Day is pink and red.
You are, in a way, the Empire State Building of Cheery Lane. Cheery Lane.
Absolutely. Very nice.
Or Pinshot, which is the lesbian street.
But I don't live there.
No, you don't.
No.
Oh, I thought you lived on the...
I live on Cheery Lane.
Yeah, that's
correct.
The lesbian street, yes.
No, Pinshot is.
Later on, I'd like to give out the addresses of all the people in state.
And I'm home right now.
Exactly. Please welcome. Come in.
I'm more at home in the studio than I actually
that's
am.
That's right. Thanks for moving this to my house.
Oh, that's quite a ride. Exactly. I actually thought about putting a studio in my house, then Carlton moved in.
Right.
So, but it's all right. It'll work out. Aaron, do you have anything you would like to add to what you've done? I mean, you came home Friday.
I came home Friday.
Okay, and we're done with Aaron. Thanks,
Aaron.
Et voilà.
Riveting, Aaron.
Isn't it?
I was on the edge
just
of my
seat. Just wait till I get you all drunk, and then I'll talk all I want.
That's T-minus 50 minutes. Yeah, so just stand by, darling. Al, I know we talked to you twice. The two times the phones worked, you were able to call in.
I was both times, yeah.
That was great. And you just came home from a long trip. You came out Sunday?
Yeah, long trip. Very long, very hot.
Okay.
I did this.
Humid or hot?
Both. Unfortunately, okay. Both were combined.
Yeah.
And not in a good way.
One day in New York City, we had the great good fortune with Mr. Matt Morotzka. He lives across from the Friends building. I don't know if I said that when
I
called
in. You did.
Yeah. Really funny. So that night, I happened to catch a Friends episode. And there's the Grove in Bedford street. But he lives like subterranean, sort of. He's on the ground floor, but it's a little bit below.
Right.
So the windows are there, and then he's got scaffolding up the front.
Don't they call that garden level?
Yeah, it is garden level.
Oh,
but maybe a little bit higher.
For you, buddy.
You're not really looking at people's feet.
Well, Kate Nally used to live in that.
Absolutely.
Oh, we do love each other. I love me some Kate Nally.
I wanted to live there because I'm like, that's cool. Even when I'm 10 years old, I thought it was cool.
I just want to hang out with Jane Curtin.
Sure. And my idol is Susan St. James. Nice. So he's got scaffolding in front. They're doing work, and they have like boarding up so that burglars, Spider-Men, cannot climb up and rob others.
While
so
escaping
very dark.
From their Broadway show?
Yeah. So, I tried to escape from that shit.
Well, if Julie Taymor is conducting the wires on that, they won't be able to climb up anyway.
You know, her part of Spider-Man is the best part.
Oh.
What she added to it, and they had to take away, I guess it was a little too busy for their target audience of 14-year-old boys. But we'll talk about that later. So anyways, he's got this apartment, very dark, and it was so miserably hot. I think it was like 99 degrees with like 80% humidity.
Ooh.
And it was miserable. And he was apologizing to me for having a dark apartment, because I guess he's got some friends that are I need sunlight.
Has he met you?
Full-on vampire here.
Right.
We stayed, and then the Supreme Court decision, he was like, I want to get up. I'm like, all right, whatever. And the Supreme Court decision came down. I talked him into staying subterranean in the dark, in the air conditioning, till 5 p.m. when we went for dinner.
Good.
And it was like a highlight of the trip that I got to like stay in bed
and
till 5 p.m. and do nothing.
It's too hot. It's just too hot.
And a few years ago, I did like a tour of the country to see if I wanted to become a travel waitress. And and I found out in the summertime that it's hot and miserable everywhere, but only Arizona is prepared. Like, not every place has air conditioning.
Right.
Like
and
we do.
Oh, my God. And, and people like to do things outside because they're all about this whole, it's warm outside for the first time. Let's go out there.
Because otherwise it's freezing. Yeah.
That breeze dies and people die.
Yeah.
people bitch about every kind. Like they bitch about every single part of the weather. It's too windy. It's too cloudy. Right. It's too this. It's just, the one day it was windy, but I'm like, if this wind dies, we're all going down.
Yeah,
let me tell you.
That's why whenever we have these major heat spells across the country that we're in right now, you always hear about people dying in other cities.
Yeah,
not so much in Arizona because we know to stay the fuck inside and in our air conditioned cars.
Except
and whatever.
I always do find it interesting, and I mean, obviously, we have friends in the news business. It's always funny. Really, okay. You're 68 years old. You have a quart of water with you, and you're going to climb a mountain.
Right.
Probably not the most wise thing.
Right. Oh, no, those people.
I don't understand that.
That should be that stupid law. Like, you know, the stupid motorist law?
Right, right. If you drive into a flooded area.
If you go up and hike.
Right.
Same law.
Yeah, same law. And they should have.
Same law.
And they charge. Same law. They should charge you for the rescue, I think.
Well, unless you die. I mean, if you die, really, you're going to pay that bill.
Can you sign this paper before you fall over?
Right. For those of you who don't live in Arizona, we have a, what's what's called a stupid motorist law. We have monsoon rains and flash floods out here in the valley. So if you are dumb enough to take your Toyota Celica and drive across 3 feet of water in a wash and you get stranded, the way that our law officials work out here is that you pay for whatever rescue it is, and they call it the stupid motorist law.
Yeah.
So that's what we're referring to.
Just dumb shit. But I'm sure that they don't find our dead bodies until they like go down the canal and get those people from behind the bushes. Because right. yep. like the population behind the bushes and their trash, they need to recycle these homeless people.
Yeah.
The trash along
Wait,
the canal.
Wait, they need to recycle the homeless people? Or they need to recycle, comma, these homeless
I think
people?
If you're going to steal all that shit and live behind
Grammar
a bush,
is important.
Steal a garbage can. You know what I mean? Like, tidy up a little bit. Be proud of the bush you live behind.
That's
what she said.
Yeah.
I think we can drink to that. Yeah. Just because. I mean, it's not a drinking
dirty, drink. Dirty.
Al, I'm assuming that you took the same way to get here today. Like you came across the Grand Canal. The Grand Canal.
Yeah, filled with the homeless people in their refuse.
But I never saw. I never saw any of the people. All I saw was It looks like Sanford and Son along the parts
right.
of that canal. It's insane.
You're not looking back behind where the mattresses are all hidden. Like you can see their little
their
dwellings.
Front lawn
yeah.
of shit.
They are.
It's a sin.
The homeless are filthy.
And they're right by canal. You'd think they could do something about it. Full of water, by the way. They could stand in the bottom. It's only 2 feet.
Just bucket it up. I mean, bucket brigade it. Wash up.
Hello,
come on.
Voice of reason, anyone?
Yeah.
Well, I just think it's rude. But
what is? What part is rude?
Well, we could take a bucket to them. We could be helpful.
Maybe
some
I
water
love you, Marnie.
And
that
a bucket.
Awesome.
All right, well, here's my suggestion.
That's all.
Just take a little bit of your time and get one of the shopping carts out of the canal and use it as your waste.
Well,
can.
That is a possibility, but they
the
may
wheels
need
won't work.
Assistance.
Yeah, the wheels don't work. Have you ever tried that?
Once you get away from a certain place.
Okay, first of all, let's go back. Have you actually tried to pull a goddamn cart out of the canal and try to use it, Al?
I wouldn't put a body part into mine for love or money.
Okay.
I don't know how that came out wrong.
But you made it sound as though you had knowledge of the actual
workings
of a cart.
Oh, I did, because the Safeway were on 7th Avenue in Osborne, where I park my bike.
Yeah.
Sometimes the cart's back there, but they don't tell you that they're beyond the zone.
Right. So,
the reason they're back there is because the wheels don't fucking work.
So you're going to move it.
Yeah, so I walk around looking for a telethon trying to push this cart.
Yeah, so they pushed him past the barrier. And it's
See how I did that?
Yeah.
That was well done.
Thank you.
I appreciate the
telethon. Ready.
I have to say, there was last summer, Target has the same deal. Like their carts,
right.
you can't take them off.
Right.
Last summer, when it was like 108 degrees out in the middle of the afternoon, I'm approaching the little roundabout there at Target when you're leaving and coming.
Oh, yes, by 19th Avenue.
This old woman, she had to be like 75 years old, was stuck because her cart wouldn't go any further, and fucking nobody would get out of their car to help her because it were
that was me,
including me.
So you could sit there literally ad nauseum because she's not moving and you're not moving.
Right.
So they stop at Bob's Big Boy. So I'm surprised she got that far.
Some good Samaritan actually got out to help her and then threw his arms up in disgust at those of us waiting for her.
Can you
I couldn't do anything. I'm like, I'm an asshole.
Can you do an in studio like recreation of how he threw his arms up? Like that?
Looking at us in
disgust.
Could
have been a field goal. We're not sure what happened.
You know,
it's still a shame we don't have webcams in the
but
studio.
But they have that little restaurant there in front of that Target. Is it JB's?
It
or
used to
Bob
be. It's
Big
now
Boy
closed
or
now.
A really bad place to get fish is what I like to call it. But there's parking that looks like it could be the I think it's a catchy name for a restaurant. Please don't order the fish.
Or a bar.
So, .com. So it looks like you're in the parking for Target, but you're really in the parking for the please don't eat our fish. And as soon as you roll your cart up to your car, it stops.
Locks you.
And all of a sudden you go throwing around looking for your telethon again. And I mean, you just feel so stupid. But then you realize there's like 9 other carts in that same graveyard.
Sure.
So by the end of the day, there's no more room
for
cars.
It's like the Bermuda Triangle for carts.
It is hysterical. Because you're like, God damn it, put restaurant parking here. Your cart won't work.
Yeah. That's just true. That happens there all the time.
Your bush won't work here. All right, Clayton, what have you been up to?
Well, now, it's been an exciting week. Obviously, now, 4th of July came and went, and I worked all day 4th of July.
I bet.
I had to, only because, well...
Are you Uncle Sam?
Clients like to call and don't tell you about issues that they have until, you know, a holiday for some reason. I don't know why.
So, like 2 p.m. on the 4th, because you're not doing nothing.
Right, no. So I literally drove around all day back and forth between Mesa and Scottsdale to a restaurant that you used to work in, Al. because they had issues. You know, don't tell me on Monday or Tuesday. Tell me on Wednesday. That's fine. That's good.
Right.
So I did that, and then I just was kind of done with the whole thing. I was exhausted to even go out. So that was the night that I stayed in, and I caught that movie. Because I love the song Rhapsody in Blue.
Oh,
my mom's father also, that was one of his favorite. And we actually had it on the old 78s. So like, it was a four sides of albums to listen to.
Because it was truly a Rhapsody.
14 minutes, I think, is how long it is. Anyway, so I just saw the movie headline, and I never watch movies. It was a 1945 movie called Rhapsody in Blue, which was the story of George Gershwin. And I didn't really realize anything about him, how he had passed, why he passed on. And all
yeah, which one died? Was it George?
George died. Ira died in like 83.
Yes.
But George passed away, and it was very interesting. I was really kind of mesmerized about all of it, and then obviously the music was fantastic. But I never watched movies, and then I went to bed. So that was the excitement of my 4th of July.
Wow.
Only to be awakened the next morning by my mother letting me know that her house had flooded. So I had to run up to
Thank God you are loaded with shop vacs.
I am, yeah. Exactly. So I literally loaded up.
What happened?
The line, just the little supplemental line on the toilet of the plastic connection broke, snapped. She was fortunately she's home. Can you imagine if you're not home and then your house floods?
Yeah.
You're just screwed.
Yeah.
So literally, she tried to use a little shop vac that I had. Didn't work. I ran up the big one. I fixed the whole thing.
You've left your mother with just a small shop vac. Actually, what kind of son are you?
Actually, it wasn't even. It was the little green machine carpet cleaner.
Sure.
She tried to extract the water, but it wouldn't work. So we did that, and then of course it worked all weekend at the Charlie's like I do. And here I am today with you fine people right here.
Fantastic.
At Q Talk America. Before we go on, we'd like to give a couple shout-outs, if we could, to a couple sponsors. The way that Aaron and Marnie got here this evening is by the one and only. Who was your driver this evening? Do you know?
Him or
yes,
her?
Yes, and yeah. Now that you just stopped me with a blank.
Oh, God, I wasn't in the cab.
Brandon? Is it Brandon? No.
Drives a Scooby-Doo van, and now I have nothing.
Fred?
No. Velma?
Yes.
Sue was in there and
Shaggy?
I got him and I don't know.
Well, regardless
I'm
who the
so
driver
sorry.
Was, Rainbow Cab for your transportation needs that are both economical and on time. You can contact them at 602.
I'll shout it out later.
502-1367. That's Rainbow Cab. They also do take pre-bookings. If you know you need to be picked up at a certain time, you can call them and they will be there to pick you up ready and willing
Just
to go.
Just ask for the Scooby-Doo van.
The mystery. The mystery,
mystery
van.
Machine.
You know what
mystery
I used?
Machine.
I used one of their fun services last night. I didn't want to go
in. They have fun services?
They do. Oh, fun. No. So,
does that mean hooker?
No. Oddly.
Is that the same as party and play?
You can actually plug and play. Totally different. You can actually call them. If you're at home and you want food delivered, they will go pick it up for you.
Oh, one of them offered.
Yes.
In lieu of going to the speaker at Grand Canyon University, someone said,
yeah,
how about a burrito instead?
I think so. It was Sue that
no,
called
it. No, it was somebody else that was trying to lighten the maybe it was Sue, trying to lighten the mood and was like, how about I just bring you a burrito and you guys shut the fuck up about the speaker at the Grand Canyon University?
Which I'm sure we'll be talking about in just a little while. Also, we'd like to give a shout out to In Touch Magazine, covering all of Arizona, a true LGBT community news magazine, and the only one that is part of the Associated Press locally. Each issue consists of colorful pages of information, education, and what's happening in your community. You can check them out if you'd like to at intouchaz.com. Now
and
we're going to come right back.
Can we say hi to Nemec Photography?
You can. You can shout it. Go ahead, Marnie.
I would love to. Nemec Photography, fantastic.
And hello to Carl's Jr. once again.
And Esme Vodka .com. It seems to come from a country called France. Has anyone heard of it?
Is that what you're drinking tonight?
Yeah. And I saw the label and I said, well, France, donde está?
Is that a chapeau you're wearing? You can check out Nemec Photography at NEMECphotos.com or their number, in case you need
or
it.
Or their number.
602.
You know it.
602-909-7805.
I'm sorry, I misinterpreted your dramatic pause.
Well, there are a lot more of those coming, so please stand by. We're coming back, with headlines right about now. Here's a look at headlines, topics, and other things that we probably are going to mull over for the rest of the night and bitch about, because we can, right here on Q Talk. Come to find out, Arizona is the birthplace of Americana. An ex-woman attacks with a brick. Something that's wrong.
she another dramatic pause.
She attacked somebody. Porn gives man a massive migraine headache. Experts discover that boiling tumors kills them. The highest blender setting successfully drowns out angry Jamba Juice customer. Cookie Monster covers the Call Me Maybe song. And Google kicks off a love campaign. Ooh, my lord, I can't believe I screwed up. Oh,
these are some odd headlines tonight,
well,
I have to say.
Well, just wait, because we have audio that goes with about half of this shit.
Love
so
that.
We'll see how well this all goes. Come to find out, I don't know if you realize this, and I didn't learn this until just today because I thought it was I thought it was a bullshit story because I, you know, how people try to make it out, like, you know, with all the stuff that Brewer's pulling off, they figure that, you know, we'll just make fun of Arizona. But come to find out that the McDonald's brothers started the McDonald's franchise in San Bernardino, California. I think everybody knows that. Ray Kroc was part of that. And popular legend is that Ray Kroc became involved, and the rest is history, but not so fast. Dramatic pause. As another famous Phoenician, Paul Harvey, would say...
Uh-oh.
Oh, I just screwed that up, too. God damn it. I hate when I... Technical! Everybody drink!
Fucking A.
I'm going to do this segue one more time.
I thought I was the glue that held the show together, but clearly not, because it has fallen down around
You're
me.
Not back in the groove yet, so let's start this over.
I'm not back in the groove yet. He can't work two fucking buttons.
Okay, so now we're going to bag on me. All right.
That was not... funny.
Do you want to go over the list of shit I did for you while you were gone?
Of course I will. Yeah. I told you, on the air, it doesn't sound like I love you.
And as another famous Phoenician, Paul Harvey, would say...
The rest of the story.
Neil Fox forever changed the fast food landscape. I don't know if you realize this. At Central and Indian School, the first... Oh, I have a handout. Stand by. You have a handout. Have a handout. Handouts. The first McDonald's that looked like that was actually at Central and Indian School in Arizona. His McDonald's franchise was built in, I forget what year, it doesn't say what year. But when the McDonald's brothers actually visited his site, they were astonished to find out not the design of what he had built, because they had the golden arches. He actually integrated, Neil Fox integrated the arches to look like that. They were surprised that he called it McDonald's. They assumed it would be called Fox's. And he said, why? Everybody knows it as McDonald's in California. Why change it? So the change of that style of the restaurant and the name McDonald's stuck because he kept the name McDonald's, and that started right here at Central and Indian School.
Yes. How old am I that I remember when they were only... I remember this still only 15 cents. I mean, seriously, how old am I?
85.
1985.
Can I add on to this one?
You can do whatever you want.
Okay. You
it's
know,
your show.
What a... and now I'm back to pee all over it. I'm back from the perfume counter.
Sure.
So Whataburger invented the drive-thru. That's their... Whataburger is who brought the drive-thru to the human race.
Okay. I didn't realize
and
that.
And the very... I'm not sure if you know this bit of trivia, but the very first drive-thru in Arizona was Taco Bell. At Scottsdale and Thomas, where I worked
where
for 9 years.
Yes.
Really?
Store number 20. It's still store number 21. The 21st.
And does it
Taco
literally
Bell
mean
Bell
the 20? Got it. Okay.
We were the 21st store, and that was the first drive-thru in Arizona, and I can confirm that because I...
Wow.
I swung the sledgehammer to tear that fucker down and build the new one, and they made sure to keep it store number 21 because it was kind of historical. 31 was the one in Tempe at like Rural and University, I think. Was where you Rural and Apache was store 31, and
Apache,
then there was one at Cactus and 32nd Street that was in the low.
Wait, I may need to write all this down.
Yeah, but no, it was just weird.
Take a note.
But just because of like how new Arizona is, you'd think they would be last at everything, but it turns out. No, Scottsdale was the first drive-through.
And I remember you telling us as we drove to Flagstaff Pride that you used to go, is it Cortis Junction, where you used to go, you had to help them open that store?
Camp Verde in
Cottonwood. Camp Verde. You had to go help them open that store. I thought
so
that was
whenever
kidding.
Somebody tells me, this used to be a Taco Bell. No.
No, it didn't.
I can tell you for sure what Taco Bells look like because they have the Mission-style windows.
Sure.
Every time they pull that shit with Winks, it might have been a Del Taco, but it was not a Taco Bell.
And it was, it's not, I
Honey Bear's Barbecue was a Taco Bell.
The one on Central.
Right.
Not the one over there on 52nd Street. But no, that's true, because I always say it's a little Taco Bell that could. Right. But I know that it wasn't, but it was a Taco Bueno or Taco whatever. It was not a Berto's.
Taco Don't Eat the Fish.
And then it moved to Bethany Home. By the Target.
Something like
that. Sure, and still don't eat the fish.
Right, still don't.
Just don't eat the fish. That's what moved.
Exactly. Though Google doesn't often get political, but on the issue of rights for gay people, the company is unequivocal, saying LGBT rights are human rights, not just for straight people. It proclaims on their webpage describing its new project called Legalize Love, an international campaign to promote safer conditions for gay, lesbian, bi, and tri people in and outside... Trans. Tri. Well, tri could be fun too.
Why not?
Bye, tri.
Wait, now can we?
I gotta get laid by one person before we start going for groups. You know what I mean?
I enjoy the tri. By transgender people inside and outside of their offices. They said they're proud to be recognized as a leader in inclusion efforts, but there's still a long way to achieve full equality. Google writes on its diversity website, legalize love is our call to decriminalize homosexuality and eliminate homophobia around the world. They actually launched this in London on Monday, and they said that it really doesn't affect their efforts in the U.S. because obviously legally or federally, there are a lot of legislation that already covers that. But in so many other countries where Google has offices, it's not cool. And so they're actually launching a worldwide campaign to... Nice. To do that. I thought it was very cool. If you go to Google's website, you can find out a lot more about it.
And I can never get on the bay. Oh, go ahead.
Well, you can tell it's British because legalizes with an S.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, yes. Yeah, this is all. Yeah, this is all. Yeah, I had to change.
Oh, that's interesting. But, you know, because the whole boycott thing, like you guys talked about last week or the week before, it's so fucking hard. And who's got the time?
Right.
But I love supporting people.
Exactly.
It's so much easier to just support people. And I cannot tell you, like, how much of my life is spent at Google.com. Yeah. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah. Right.
If they get rid of that, I will become I will be at the telethon, sitting there drooling.
Sure. Oh, speaking
is
of...
Is Jerry Lewis still alive to hug me?
Yes, he is. Okay, but he's no longer part.
But no longer part of it. No.
By the way, speaking of boycotting, we found out that the 16th Street in Camelback, sorry for being local for people listening outside of Phoenix, there was a Denny's that closed at 16th Street in Camelback here in Central Phoenix, and it was believed it was going to be a Chick-fil-A, and now we found out, nope, they just had trucks parked there for some reason, but it's not going to be.
Okay, good.
That's what I...
Oh, I hope it's another CVS or a Walgreens.
That's right. Sure.
I remember driving almost two full blocks without a drugstore recently, and I thought, well, my God.
CVS is right across the street, so it have to become a Walgreens.
What if I get red eye or a wart? What will I do from here to 18th Street? Now,
this story also... This is actually...
What do I need a loaf of bread and an orange juice?
It's a Circle K.
I need three t-shirts for $10.
Oh, my God, I know.
Now, though this is a funny handout, this is a serious story, and I thought it was very interesting.
I will try to be somber.
Okay, so there's the handout.
I'll try to.
And that's
no. Can you make three?
No.
For the love of Jesus, kill a fucking tree.
We gotta share.
I like it for you to pass them around.
I feel like an x-ray coming.
Experts discover that boiling tumors kills them. No, this is totally serious. I saw this today.
This reminds me of the llama.
No.
Well, first off, I boil people. That's one thing.
No, eat hands. That's two.
That's two.
A new treatment for breast cancer has been discovered after scientists found that breast tumors can be killed in minutes by boiling them.
Is this a breast?
Yes. Well, it's a partial shot there.
Okay, it looks
this treatment now, Al. This treatment
with
is
cauliflower in it.
That's the tumors.
This treatment is called preferential radio frequency ablation. Does that
I love the word ablation. It means they turn it into a Barbie part. It turns it into hard, cold plastic. Like you can get an ablation of your uterus.
Okay, so it uses a targeted electrical current that heats or, quote, boils the tumor to 160 to 190 degrees Fahrenheit. The researchers from the institute in Sweden found that the cancer cells die within 10 minutes of the heated treatment. The treatment uses a thin needle-like electrode, which is inserted into the breast, and then literally, as soon as it's done, they can go back home and go to work the next day. There's no hurt, there's no pain, and it's over.
I love you. Well, the tumor dies in 10 minutes. How much longer does the boiled person die?
Right.
But apparently it's
an
isotope. This was an amazing breakthrough, thinking that if they can do this, if it's starting in breast cancer, if it becomes something that they can do tumors in, if it's a brain tumor, if it's anything else, I'm thinking this has got to be kind of a gateway research for something.
It's a gateway boiling. The next thing you're going to boil, hams, chickens. Who knows what this will lead to? Can we put this on our website? Because I want to pass this around at work and find out.
I can send you the full color photo.
You
of
shouldn't
that.
Be able to see that. I mean, this out. You shouldn't be able to see an outline of a breast like that.
It may be an artist's rendering. I'm not sure.
Oh, I got you now.
Well, because many people at the restaurant know all about that.
Yes. Well, you know what? Our line cook is... He
amazing.
Is just...
Amazing.
He can spot a breast in any dimension.
I'm sure that
I
was coming. A lot about breasts.
This is like the Cyclops of tits. It kind of looks like her lung has gone really wrong.
And very... Floral.
Is this? Can viewers at home, can they see this?
Can we post it? I'll find the link.
I think we should.
Aaron,
I make a suggestion?
Could you Google that something about boiling tumors?
But see if you can find
a full. Actually, do it on an iPad because that way we can get a full color photo. Can you do that?
I think we should do. Not to tell you how to do your job, whatever that may be. But I think we should do this like scratch and sniff. Like Will. While you're reading aloud, you'll be like 1-1-1, and they scratch the number 1 on their touchpad.
I'm not
sure. And this picture comes up. Smell it if you'd like. I'm not sure if it'll do anything. I don't know how Apple has come so far in technology. But I think if you did that, where we said, you know, blink right. one, you we'll press one in this picture of sure. what might or may not be a breast that's been attacked by an Indian. Native American, my Native. Apologies.
Feather, not dot. Is that what you meant exactly. to say?
Oh, see, yeah. now we went the other way. Yeah. I was trying to cover
now
up
you're
my...
you taking this show all to hell.
Oh, my gosh. I think, can we all just have a drink? Because I got to read another couple stories here.
Yeah. We've got it.
I'm really bummed that I...
Oh, now it makes more sense. Come on. Take my color printer in exchange for all you do at my house. Take my color printer.
No, so now you see it.
Look at that.
Look at that. Look at that. Isn't that beautiful?
She's a one-tit wonder in this picture. Over here, she's a lovely woman with cancer.
Are those raspberries? What's happening?
Raspberries. I don't know. I don't
she's a lovely woman with cancer. Really?
Well, there's a difference between a cyclops tit and a lovely woman with cancer.
Well, sorry about the hump. One hump.
Yeah. the Marty, would you like to call the suffering person a whore? That's what you like to do.
Or a cunt. Or a cunt, because you love to call everybody that.
Do you want to jump in here and insult the dying? Come on.
No.
But do you understand?
I didn't mean to that one time.
You know you miss me. Just say it.
I do, but
even if
I
would have printed
that
on the color printer, I would have done it no justice, because you don't get two. You don't get both breasts on it in half by 11
really
piece
do.
Of paper.
Well,
viewers or listeners, whatever you call yourselves at home, please go find the link to the story that we've given you no information on.
If you can figure out how to post that on our Facebook page. Oh, Aaron, is you, can you just be the secretary of this show? Because it's helpful. You're a PA.
I think I'm going to keep her in here to try to find out how that little young girl in Alabama is doing.
The one I call the whore. Yeah.
The one who blowed up a commode?
No,
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
The girl who went to the prom with...
yeah.
With a very charming gentleman.
Yeah.
If you might recall, Aaron and I were almost in love before we were shunted off to different parts of the country. Uh-huh. Before Marnie separated us.
Actually, the same part of the country, if you think about
it. Yeah, see, I thought that was a little bit interesting.
I thought that as well.
Uh-huh. Sure. We were just a rapid train or fast train. What are they called? I don't know, quick bullet
something.
Thing? I don't know.
Something.
Go ahead. Please continue, sir.
May December romance. But
what?
I wondered. I thought she just had people posting pictures.
Well, secretly, we had a dangerous liaison girl.
I think she was in
apparently
Broadway.
Apparently, where the reflecting pond was empty. I heard that earlier in Washington, D.C.
Is that a metaphor?
Not really, no.
I just want to tell you my reflecting pond is empty when I see you.
But apparently, Al's Washington Monument was closed.
Due to a big shakeup near the tip.
Indefinite closure.
I'm dying to get to the next story.
We got three more to come, so just stand by.
Oh, he stopped eating. He is listening.
I do want to give a shout out to Jet Phoenix. That's Jacob. He is listening. He says, Fred, oh my God, I don't know what the deal is with that. Also, Tyler in Tennessee is here.
Yay.
Hello, Tyler.
Yes.
And Jacob. Is it Jacob from Jacob Plasma?
Jacob from Charlie's. Jacob and Jacob.
Why are they? Mine never updates.
Well, you have to hit refresh or something.
Jacob with a K or Jacob with a C?
Jacob with a C. Okay. Charlie's.
Right. Oh, okay.
But it says his on-screen name is Jet Phoenix because his initials are J-E-T.
Oh, okay.
His name is Jacob Tierney.
I see. Okay.
Aaron sees it. Sorry, Henry. You get
it. No. I posted it.
Oh, you posted it. Thank you. And go to our Facebook page, and you can see the picture of the colorful breasts with a dart sticking in it, or whatever the hell that was. Well, whatever it is they were using.
I love it.
All right, a Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania woman has been jailed on charges she attacked her ex-boyfriend's new girlfriend and other women with a knife and a brick at a Chuck E. Cheese restaurant during a party.
Of course.
Monroeville police say 20-year-old woman attacked four female guests at a restaurant about 7:30 last Saturday. Investigators say Dobbins was apparently upset that her son's father had a new girlfriend at the party. Damn it. Police say Dobbins cut one woman's ear with a knife, hit another with a brick, and she was also accused of hitting two other women in the brawl. Online courts didn't list her.
Where's the brawl? Where's that? Is that
can I see on the x-ray? Where are they? Show me on the doll. Show me on the doll where she hit you.
Is your brawl in
She
your
hit
neck?
Me in the brawl.
Why is it? I can bring any story, and somehow you guys find a word.
It was your delivery. Yeah. And hit two more in the brawl.
Your dramatic pauses today are priceless.
I bet she is trisexual.
She is. She hasn't peed rights, and she got hit in the brawl.
Oh my God in heaven. Oh, that's good. Online court records.
She hasn't shit right in a week. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Stay tuned, folks, an hour and 27 minutes left.
It's so much better without the delay.
Well, yeah, when you're sitting here with us. Online court records do not list a current attorney for the lady who has been jailed. Oh, that's funny stuff. Oh, all right. So let's see if I can get through this story.
Look at this. He's like, whatever. That's just stupid.
He doesn't find this funny at all.
He has this look on his face.
I'm just
like,
not as outward with my emotion.
Not even a little bit.
I want you to dance and scream and shout, but keep it all inside.
Dance, little monkey.
Jamba Juice employee Scott Dolfer doesn't like his customers very much, especially when they're yelling at him from across the counter. Today, Dolfer purposefully maximized the power of the store's blender to drown out an elderly woman who kept insisting that her strawberry Nirvana smoothie was just too chunky.
I only heard the first few words out of that pinch-faced hag, and then I was like, sorry, can't hear you.
Dolfer added that once he's... Dolfer added... Once he's fired from his current job, he plans on purchasing a blender to drown out everybody else in the world.
Erin is appalled because she thinks this is a real story.
That pinch-faced hag.
Would you like to hear that audio clip again, Erin?
Yes, yes, yes.
I only heard the first few words out of that pinch-faced hag, and then I was like, sorry, can't hear you.
I am going to carry a blender with me at all times.
A blender will run in your car.
Oh, yes.
Nice work.
Not a toaster. We'll have to get to that later, too.
Oh, yeah, it turns out I made a documentary.
Yes, without any of us.
Before Shadows and Fog, Part 3. The Holocaust years in my car. It's like 4 hours long.
Okay, this one's a little bit long of an audio clip, but it's well worth it because this is a true story, and it's funny, and we have to use the whole clip. A 24-year-old Indian man was prescribed sedatives because watching porn gives him massive migraine headaches, according to a video from newsfixnow.com.
Most people clear their internet search history after watching porn. But an unnamed 24-year-old man from India clears his medicine cabinet for painkillers. Turns out, X-rated movies give the guy massive migraines. According to the Archives of Sexual Behavior, the subject of this study, a bachelor software engineer, gets headaches after watching porn. The man's pain reaches its climax about 10 minutes into the action, ending in a severe, exploding headache and causing the man to turn off the video. The explosion keeps him from seeing how any of the scenes end, which actually is the norm for most men. Well, except for the extreme pain this guy feels in his noggin. Research doesn't say what happens to the migraine when the man takes matters into his own hands. Suffice to say, he probably rubs one out. Of his temples, that is. Doctors have prescribed sedatives to be taken before his triple X fix. Great, so this guy is now going to be hooked on painkillers and porn. How about this solution, dude? Lay off the Skinamax and go find yourself a nice girl.
I actually found that story online, and then some news source took off and made an entire video about the whole thing, and it was funny. But that's an actual story.
Why? We don't have a handout for this?
No. Yes. Sani White. Are the Sani Whites?
Is there anything that the listeners can watch at home?
Oh, yeah. If they do, they should Google that. Man has migraines watching porn. I'm sure you can find that video and find
it. Erin, a brilliant diagnostician, we'll say, said, well, you know, why not stop watching porn?
Yeah, really.
But who makes it further than 10 minutes through porn unless you're completely trashed?
Right.
Unless you got whiskey dick. I mean, come on, people.
Or you're, well, never mind.
And if you don't know what whiskey dick is, google.com. Try it.
UrbanDictionary.com.
They're all about love. Even if you got whiskey dick. I love, that's a great phrase, though.
Even if.
I got whiskey dick, sorry.
So
not that you're not pretty.
So those are the headlines that I brought to the table.
Even Buddy laughed at that one. I think I just won.
What did you spit? Erin spit?
Oh, no. Oh, is Jerry Lewis around?
Is there anybody?
We'll get you a ramp for next week.
Oh, no.
Doug Wilkie just said hello, and then Jet Phoenix is posting about events that are happening somewhere.
Oh, he's using where his whores. Right.
If you'd like to call in, we have a listener line. It's a
true listener line.
Listener line, 888-791-9294, and we'll put your drunk ass on the air with us. 888-791-9294. Call in and call often.
Is that it for the news?
No, well, that's pretty much all I brought. Because
sweet Jesus, that was good times.
I figured you all had something else that you'd like to touch on. Anything? something?
Oh, 7:38. Well, I'd like to add something. No, this is an interesting idea. I'm going to interrupt you all.
I gave you. You're not interrupting. I gave you the floor.
May he just.
You missed that, didn't you? May I just? Okay, now I
well played, buddy.
I have a. What would he be? I have a. Oh my god, this guy's a pig. All right, where do you want to go next? You want to go with Broadway shows? What do you want to chat about? You want updates on...
One topic that I didn't touch on, but we can close the hour with that, is the Cookie Monster doing the Call Me Maybe song, which is very, very cute.
Oh, I haven't
cute.
Watched that yet. I saw it, but I haven't watched it.
It's very, very cute. The people at the Children's Television Network redid that song, and it's just cute lyrics. We'll play that in a minute. I did stumble upon another documentary, oddly, on PBS the other day. Have you anybody heard of it called Me and Mr. Was it called Mr. Rogers and Me or Me and Mr. Rogers? I forget what it's called. Mm-mm. It's
does it take place at Penn State? Because it sounds like it does.
No, it's not Me and Mr. Sandusky. No, it's like Linda Ellerbe and some other reporters and real life people who grew up around him and he interacted in their life. It was just very interesting about how he was just exactly as positive and as championing everything you wanted to do as he was on TV. It was very interesting. I stumbled upon that, and because I've always liked Linda Ellerbe, the reporter, and she does Nick News. Apparently, I don't know if they still do it or not.
I don't know if they still do, but I remember.
I believe
she had
they do.
And he literally called her or wrote her and said that what she was doing was better than what most network news anchors do because she discussed with kids the news and the topics so they would understand it. And he said, "You're explaining stuff at a level that actually more adults understand."
Right. Yeah. I mean, come on. If she did it with a debt ceiling and had people explain, like, what the fuck that is.
Right. If they did it the way that everybody else does it and all their technical shit and all their numbers, yeah, they'd never get it. But it was an interesting. I didn't catch all of it, so I've recorded it or I've got it set to record for next week so that I can catch that. But it was very cool.
That is cool.
It was very interesting to see a different side of him other than, you know, the sneakers, the sweater, and the neighborhood trolley.
But he got a Lifetime Achievement Award at the Daytime Emmys a few years. Is he dead? He died,
yes,
right?
He passed away. He passed away.
He had a he got his Lifetime Achievement Honorary Award from the I have that to talk about too. Okay. From the Daytime Emmys, and everything that they said, and a lot of times, most of those times, those things are very sincere when they come from colleagues, and it just seemed very genuine. Like, he was as he appeared to be, and like not really for any cause but children. I mean, he just seemed like a very genuinely for the cause, and that's so rare to find anymore, that there's not some hidden agenda somewhere.
Right, behind everything else. Yes. Go ahead, buddy.
No, I was going to share. Mr. Rogers, like you said, was everything that he portrayed on screen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because
there was no dirt to dig up.
What's so funny is, there, you know, people have this tendency to want to spread these things. For example, Mr. Rogers, you know, we've often heard, you might have heard people like, he actually hates kids. Did you know that? You know, they do that. They would say, Archie Bunker, Carol O'Connor is actually really like that or something, you know, along those lines. And whereas O'Connor is actually not.
Right.
I heard that a lot, not necessarily growing up, but after I was an adult, and people would say, Mr. Rogers, he hates kids, he's a recluse, he's a child molester, you know, things like this. Like, no, Mr. Rogers is exactly what you see.
Right.
But people, there's always, like, do you ever notice, like, not invisible rumors, but, like, and my favorite one is, like, Leah Michelle on, the minute you play a bitch, she's a bitch.
Right.
And you hear that she's a cunt. You hear that all the time about so many different people because somebody says something bad, and all of a sudden that's how the conversation goes.
Well, that's
with everybody.
How Heather Locklear, when she did 90210, everybody said that about her.
Oh, she's a bitch. She might be a lovely person. Like, who actually, like, until you were in the room with her.
Barbara Stanwyck was another one who, when you go back, when you hear anybody talk about Barbara Stanwyck, from all of the series she was in, she always played a staunch, strict woman, very strong. But she was, according to everybody else, like Linda Evans, when interviewed in regards to her, she was just the sweetest, most gentle person. But that was her character. That's what she played. But she became known for just being a hard-nosed bitch.
But then you have those people that are like, she's a bitch. Like, you don't fucking know her.
Right.
But and William Holden on the Oscars one year got paired up with Barbara Stanwyck. And I can't remember if he was giving tribute to her or they were just presenting, and he kind of stopped the show and was like, I have a career because of this woman, so you all need to, like, give her another round of applause at what great woman Barbara Stanwyck is. Because I think it was, like, Golden Boy or something where he was fired or wasn't taken for the job, and she actually stood up for him and got him his career going. So, I mean, but a perfect example. But I hate when someone says it. Oh, I heard she's a cunt. Who did you hear that from?
Yeah. And TM fucking Z. And when did you meet her?
Right, the lowest slime of the earth, TMZ, said she's a bitch. I hate that shit. It always drives me crazy.
Go ahead, Marty.
Well, I just wanted to show everyone this face, you know.
But Jan Brewer's a cunt.
Jan Brewer is
a
cunt.
Oh, here's another cunt.
Oh, here's Bachman? Another batshit crazy cunt.
I, you know what? I want to take cunt away from her and stick with batshit crazy.
She is definitely batshit crazy. But there was this big thing that I wanted to do last week about this, and it's all about the fact that they're the discussions now for VP, potential VP Mitt Romney.
And I hadn't heard that.
She's this was from last week.
How have you not heard that? That's all anybody's talking about.
Yeah. I mean, just who could it potentially be, blah, blah, blah. And they're coming up with the fact that Bachman, and that he might want a woman, that his wife put that out there, and Romney put that out there, that he's looking for a female. Good God.
Okay, don't hit me.
Oh, Jesus.
Please don't hit me.
You never know. If you're going to say something kind, if you're going to say she's better than Palin.
No.
I think I know where he's going, but you go ahead.
Okay, two things. First, ultra-conservative.
Cunt.
She wins. Yeah, right. She wins on that vote. But she's on is she on the Armed Forces Committee? She is on one of the most powerful committees in Congress, and it's a card she can play. Like, she can actually trump a couple people with the committee she's on. And somebody has to Google it and send it to her. I fully hate the woman, but from a conservative point of view, she pulls together a lot of things that are wrong with Romney. Like, she really does.
Okay.
She's ultra-conservative. She has never, ever swayed from – the one thing she has that, like, they all – that waffling –
she has a gay husband.
Well, but you know what? You're not getting the point.
No,
she doesn't
she
doesn't backpedal at all.
No,
she
you're
sticks
right.
to her guns.
As crazy as the guns are,
asshole as she is,
yep.
She sticks to her guns, and that's what they need from her.
Well, a couple of things, and I thought you were going to say that's the best thing that could happen to the Obama campaign.
Yes, it is.
That's what I was thinking.
Now flip it around. That's almost a guaranteed win for us because she turns off all independents.
Right. She only
that's just
right.
it,
she
I'm
only
an
gets that conservative base
and the conservative base is all that's voting for him right now.
Tea party conservative, the
other
nutcase.
It gets them out of the cabin.
And by the way, it's not that I wasn't hearing you. I just can't take her seriously.
Oh no,
at all.
No, no, no.
So I just it blows my mind.
I just have to do a may I just
please.
On this one. So the
surprise
the cousin-in-law that I was no, but you'll love this. The cousin-in-law that I was talking about, racist jokes all around, like constantly. And then when he said he supported the Tea Party, I'm like, all racists. He's like, they are not. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You have used the N-word more times in 9 hours than I have heard in the last 5 years.
Right. But a lot of black people like the Tea Party. Haven't you heard that?
What?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, according to that?
According to her. Crazy bitch.
But she also thought the founding fathers didn't rest until slavery was abolished.
She also thinks her husband is straight.
Well, correct me.
And I'm not trying to be an ass, but I mean, just like her whole background. And
oh, no, she is offensive.
She's offensive to the whole idea that
to
she's
living, breathing humans with a brain cell.
97 children for a minute. And, like, they've come into her life and then they go, she's obscene. Like, everything about
honest
her.
Honest to God, she is. But you can see the appeal on one side, and you can see how it looks good for us on the other.
I've got to be honest with you. I have to be honest with you. I have a lot of friends who are of the Republican nature.
I do not.
Okay? I do. And they're more... I think it's that Republican kind of stamp that's annoying. I think they're more conservative on certain things. But they're friends with me, and therefore not... conservative when it comes to, they're more liberal when it comes to left-leaning human rights issues. The people that I am.
And if a Republican Congress voted for anything that didn't have to do with a uterus or gay marriage,
sure.
If they were concerned about what's the number of how many bills they've passed?
It's crazy.
Anti-women legislation and anti-gay legislation compared with tax, it's like 500-1 of what they've done. Rachel Maddow had that statistic on Bill Maher a couple of weeks ago of the number of bills passed between federal government and all the state houses that went Republican in the 2010 election, the number of social issues they voted on. Remember, the Tea Party, if you remember, I can't remember the lady with the long brown hair that's their real leader. She's on CNN all the time, and her name escapes me. But she was the one that swore to God, hand on a Bible, we were not about social issues. The Tea Party was only about taxes. They had nothing to do. They wanted nothing to do with social issues. They were not going to broach it at all. They got in office, and it's 400 or 500 to 1. Rachel Maddow has the actual statistics.
She's looking at
it
right now.
Taxes to social issues. That's all they vote on.
Well, just one more thing about the Bachman situation, and you guys may know the answer to this, but I was under the impression that when that came up about a week ago or so, she was the only one mentioning herself in the conversation of VP.
Oh.
Nobody in the Romney camp or in the Republican Party had even floated the idea of Michelle Bachman.
Oh, I thought,
she came out and said, "Oh, well, I understand I might be listed as a potential VP. I don't know, but my understanding is behind the scenes. They're like, what the fuck is she talking about?"
Well, oh, I thought that was the news story.
You might be able to correct me. But
I can go back and look at that again. It was over a week ago. I lost brain cells.
But I thought she was going to be in a veterans parade. I thought that's what VP meant for her.
But it is. And
well, her husband was going to be in a DP. I went there.
He is trisexual.
No, but in fact, the news story.
It can be cured.
The news story I saw, and this might have just been the initial news story. The story itself was how she inserted herself into the VP conversation when no one else had.
But self-insertion. I hope Mr. Bachman looks that up.
Did you? you've seen all the texts from Hillary. Have you seen those? One came out today that showed Bachman on the top and says, "Hey, you ready for some competition?" Oh, wait, no. My
it was
bad.
Palin.
It was Palin. Are you ready for some competition in 16? And Hillary's like, LOL.
The one that I saw awesome. Said, "Bitch, please."
Oh, I love that. I love
those. That was better.
I love those.
But, oh my God, I'm so bad at names right now because all I want to talk about is Broadway.
we're going to get to that in a minute.
Bald-headed guy looks like a snake. James Carville.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
James Carville was on The View today, and he, he is a Clintonite. I mean, he's even further up the Clinton's ass than I am.
Yeah.
Even
that's
more of
it. Actually really true.
That's pretty far.
And his wife is not.
No.
She's hugely to the right.
But anyways, he was hinting around that Hillary has not ruled out 16.
Wow.
I love that.
He was very vague.
I think she needs to go for that.
I do too. Okay, I think
there's a lot that needs to happen, but I agree. I think that would be fantastic.
Fact checker. That's what Aaron is.
Is she our fact checker?
Uh-huh. What have you validated, Aaron?
How much more could I love you?
All right. Republicans have introduced 44 bills on abortion, 99 on religion, 71 family relationships, 36 on marriage, 77 on firearms, gun control, and 0 on job creation.
There you go.
Shocker. Dun, dun, dun.
Right.
No. But it's the God's honest truth. Because it's that thing where people forget stuff a year later.
Right.
That woman, and I can't remember her fucking name. She's the head of the Tea Party, she's like the supposed head. Long brown hair, sarcastic little bitch. And she's the one that said no social issues whatsoever. They were off the table. That's how they got elected in because they were going to wear their tea bags and jump in the bus. Jump in the fucking Boston Harbor, you pigs.
You're not talking about that crazy woman who said she was a witch.
No. She's very respectable.
Christine O'Donnell was her name.
Oh, Christine O'Donnell. Yes. Oh yeah. I'm not a witch. No. I'm you, bitch. If you are me, I'm going to kill myself.
In related bitch news, in Arizona, I don't know if any of you have heard this. I'm sure you guys in this room have heard this. You know, the current hullabaloo where Brewer is trying to get the federal courts to take away domestic partner benefits. Yeah. Right. Well, today, late this afternoon, this actually was at 4:20 this afternoon, apparently.
We don't have a ticker for this, right?
No, I saw it on the internet. A tourism board member resigns over the same sex benefits flap. He actually was appointed by her last year, and he decided because she's going to stir all this stuff up. In a 2-page letter to the governor, Edwin Leslie says he's immediately stepping down from the tourism council, saying that her actions are in direct conflict with your reiteration that all Americans are entitled to the same inalienable rights. As a member of the Arizona Tourism Advisory Board, it is my responsibility to remind you that your actions are contrary to those needed to ensure the success of the tourism industry in Arizona. Your actions discriminate against the one part of the state's residents to appease a small fraction of the population. Arizona residents, by and large, are in support of LGBT equality. So the interesting part about that was that he was appointed just, I guess, last year before, to the board and decided, like, literally, no notice, just I'm out, I'm done, you can do whatever you want.
Good for him.
But I'm out of it. And her office regrets, deeply regrets his resignation.
You know, Aaron and I were just talking today, I think, yesterday, whatever.
I'm sure you were. Your
about
girlfriend's...
Well, we hang out. I mean, she's a good gal.
I understand.
But we were just talking about the idea of what, when you see these crazy people, whether it's Bachman, whether it's Brewer, Palin, whatever, and you take these nut jobs, and then you think about them at home. Like, are they really that fucking crazy at home?
I'd like,
I mean,
yeah.
You know, does Jan Brewer go home and just spout hate? Like the way
I think so.
I mean, do you really think that?
Well, she
that
doesn't get a lot of. She doesn't get a lot of facials.
She doesn't get a lot of things. But, you know, but
how about pearl necklaces?
Yeah.
How about jizz in her face? I'm gonna say it. You guys are dancing around the subject. I'm gonna say cum
nicely
on
done,
her face.
Mr. Early.
She doesn't get it.
She sure doesn't. No.
Please send all letters to admin.
Can do you really think that they're that hateful at home, or is it a political face? I mean, do you? Sometimes with
and
these
that's
people,
there was a question about going to see the guy from Chick-fil-A speak
right,
at Grand Canyon News University yesterday. The main chicken at Chick-fil-A. And I always say, like, I want to see you in person because I want to know, like, does that like because I just picture being in a room with Jan Brewer and having to kill her.
Absolutely.
Like, there's probably going to be
feeling,
like FBI knocking on the door.
But
to me,
hate.
I just feel the hatred coming off of her in like waves. Oh, yeah. Like, I think this woman just emanates hate. And you were talking about the tourism board and the guy quitting.
Mm-hmm.
Right about the time that Gabby Giffords was shot, again, Bill Maher, because that's all I really do is watch Bill Maher. Chris Rock was on Bill Maher, and he was talking about doing, he did a stand up show that same day or maybe the next night. No, I think it was the night before in Arizona. And he actually said when he got off the plane, he could feel, like, the evilness. Because SB 1070 was all in the air. That was all that, like, post-election. And he said, like, he just felt like something was happening. And he kind of felt like he was landing some, like, he had that same feeling that you would get in, like, 60s Mississippi or Alabama from Arizona. Like, like the political climate here is just so filled with acrimony, and we're adding to it.
Yeah,
like I've already threatened her life. So I mean,
you've not really threatened her life.
I'm not making it any
better. Certainly can't say that. Well, let's close this hour on a fun note. Those of you out there, unless you're under a rock, you've heard the song called "Call Me Maybe." What did I do? Did I lose it? Did I lose it? There I go. There are many reasons to love Cookie's version of Carly Rae Jepsen's hit "Call Me Maybe." For one, the lyrics are like this: "It's hard to look at your snack, baby, but you got Cookie, so share it, maybe." Genius lyrics,
nice.
Sponsored by the Children's Television Network, and it sounds something like it sounds like this.
Hey, me just met you, and this is crazy, but you got Cookie, so share it, maybe.
I love it.
It's hard to look at your snack, baby, but you got Cookie, so share it, maybe.
Oh my God, the video is so cute. If you can find it, Google Cookie Monster. Share it, maybe. It's very, very cute. It's adorable. The video is shot in an office of the Children's Television Network, and everybody's involved in it, showing people in the office doing what they do at an office, share snacks, and watch YouTube. That's exactly what the whole video is about. And Cookie Monster is in the office with them looking for cookies. It's adorable. And I thought to myself about Michelle Obama and her fitness campaign about how Cookie Monster should only eat fruits and vegetables, and now we got him in there eating cookies again. I thought that was fantastic.
Good.
Nice, I love it.
Well, I thought I heard him say snatch.
No, I thought he said snatch, too.
It's snack, and I knew somebody was going to read into that that way. I knew
nicely
something
done.
Like that was going to happen. Well, you've done to manage to listen. What the hell? Somehow we're getting something hip. I don't know what that is. You've managed to waste another hour of your Tuesday night listening to the show with Clayton McKee and company. Guess what? There's another hour coming up. We're coming at you in just mere moments. We've got sports, the drinking game, and also a little segment we like to call Thoughtful Vulgarity. I always try to screw the name up for some reason. Anyway, we'll be back in just mere moments right here on Q-Talk America. You can email us or call us at 888-791-9294. It's a Tuesday night in the Valley of the Sun. Thank you for listening. We'll be back right after this.
You've been listening to The Show with Clayton McKee on Q Talk Arizona. You're listening to Q Talk Arizona. The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee on Q Talk Arizona. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Oh, good evening, America. This is Clayton McKee. It's the show with me and company on Q Talk America. We do it every Tuesday night right here from the studios of Q Talk America in Central Phoenix. Thank you for being here. I'm with Marnie Ryer. Aaron is here with us tonight also. And Al Perkins returned from his trip to New York. We're going to talk about that a little bit more in just a few minutes. Buddy Early is with us too. And with that said, let's get into sports with Buddy Early. Whoops, I did that something wrong. What did I do wrong? Whoop, that's still Cookie. My bad, Cookie.
Here are your sports headlines. Phoenix Suns fans continue to grieve over the loss of Steve Nash. Penn State rakes in over $208 million in donations. 63-year-old swimmer makes another attempt at Cuba to Florida goal. And I am the king of predicting tennis championship.
Ooh, nice hit on the post, buddy. I'm proud of you on that.
Well done, well done.
And here are those stories. Phoenix Suns fans are still smarting over the departure of Steve Nash, who was part of a sign-and-trade deal the Los Angeles Lakers last week. The two-time league MVP was largely responsible for negotiating the deal, which will bring him $27 million over 3 years. Not to mention a chance at that elusive championship. In return, the Suns got 4 draft picks. Yeah. Suns fans, meanwhile...
Dramatic pause. Yeah. I like the dramatic pause.
Suns fans, meanwhile, have been lashing out, not because Nash left, which was expected, but because he left... do you want to finish the sports
morning? I forgot that this was on. I'm sorry.
But because he left to play for the team's main rival of the last 40 years. And incidentally, Nash is going to be... he's going to turn 40 during the season next year. And so to sign this 3-year deal, kind of interesting because... it's been a few years now where people are like, is this it? Is he going to retire after this year? And now he signs a 3-year deal, so I guess he's got some more left in him.
What I was hearing from...
Can he shoot it on Jan Buehler's face?
I bet he'd
is
like
that to. Funny?
Oh my God.
I'm just following orders.
What I was hearing on local other radio when they were talking about this was that they felt that the Suns kind of shot themselves in the foot because they gave up, was it first and second draft picks?
No, they got draft picks from the Lakers.
But they were like, well, they're like second string and we're going
to
wind up with nothing.
Those draft picks aren't going to amount to anything because they're going to be late first rounders and second rounders. But here's the thing. Nash was a free agent. So... he could have just left, and the Suns would have gotten nothing.
Right, true.
So he was trying to do the...
give them something.
Do the Suns a solid, as the bros would say.
A solid, ooh.
And being like... so they did the sign and trade, which means he signed with the Suns under the... under
knowing
the
he was going to be traded.
They were
going
to trade him to the Lakers. Otherwise, right. He could have just signed with the Lakers.
True, that's
and said, right. Okay, I'm yours. Bye, Suns. So he was trying to be nice, although he did go to the Lakers, which... you know, it's the most hated team in the Valley, so that still hurts, I do have to say.
And hated team in our Valley. We hate them. Cause I'm like,
we hate the Lakers, yeah.
Got it. I didn't realize that.
Not the San Fernando Valley. They kind of like the Lakers there.
Got it.
Thank you for taking that.
Moving on, and this is a story that might rankle the feathers of one Matt Maroska. Penn State University received more than $208 million in donations for the fiscal year that just ended, the second highest total in university history, despite the upheaval after the arrest of Jerry Sandusky on child sex abuse charges. According to the Associated Press, the school said Monday there was a slight uptick in the number of alumni who donated money or gifts in the fiscal year that ended June 30th, reversing 2 years of slight declines. In related news, the findings from the school's internal investigation are also expected to be released on Thursday. Those conclusions could weigh heavily on whether the university can settle any civil lawsuits out of court. The school has said that private donations, tuition dollars, or state appropriations will not be used to pay legal fees, consultants, or any other costs associated with the Sandusky trial, which has, through the end of April, totaled $11.9 million.
I figured you were going to bring this up because I actually saw that headline and I thought the roof.
I thought it was $8 million. I didn't realize it was $208.
No, $208
million. I caught the news late. And
that's not like $208 million as a direct result of Sandusky, but as I mentioned, this is the second highest total ever.
Right.
And the reason the story jumped out at me, because you know I don't even like talking about this story, was everything that Al has said 100 times.
I thought it's of this that culture. Very thing. It's cult.
It's the cult.
Yeah.
Because people want.
I know. I agree.
Take it away.
Someday they're going to donate to us because there'll be a cult following us somewhere.
And I'm going to take this a different way. Like they just did on the same day that he was found guilty, the Catholic Church had the first case come to trial and reach a verdict of child endangerment.
Right.
which is what I'm after out of Penn State. I want those fuckers to go down for child endangerment.
Right.
And I went...
It's very possible.
And I went Joe Paterno, convicted...
Posthumously
of child endangerment. Because motherfucker, you are not a saint.
There right? really is.
Now, because now there's thousands of emails that implicate him. You let a child rapist go, and I want him to suffer. That statue at Penn State, I think, needs to come down.
I agree with you.
I think it's just, it's a this cult.
It's creepy.
I mean, Apple products are part of a cult too. But as far as I know, we're only enslaving Chinese people. We're not raping children yet.
Right, and they're working willing, not enslaved, but they're working.
Paying
in a
them a little bit of money, 15, 16 cents an hour. You're good.
They get a cot to sleep on for 15 minutes every shift.
Three hots and a cot. What else do you want? No, but I think
it's only what Jan Brewer's son is
getting. I really think.
Organically done.
I really think that
I'm here all week.
The likelihood that there will be some of these convictions coming down, I really think it's very possible because, as you pointed out, more and more is coming out about how much did these people know and when did they know it, yada, 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 all the way up to the former president who this week has said he had no knowledge at all. I think that seems to contradict
a lot. You
got to
pick one song and sing it because he has changed that tune so many times.
That's true. One thing we know is it's back to the perfume counter for all of them.
Yeah.
But this story is not over.
And I
by
hope it's
long
prison
shot.
The gang rape. I mean, by I hope that's what shot. Perfume counter means in your metaphor.
Here is... here's actually a better story.
A better one than that? Okay.
Well, yeah. After failing to swim from Cuba to Florida on her first three attempts, two of which came last year, 63-year-old Diana Nyad is at it again this summer with a fourth attempt. Nyad first tried what she called the extreme dream in 1978 at the age of 29, but she was thwarted by bad weather.
Thwarted?
That's
thwarted.
A hard word to
is
say on the mic.
Is that similar to a brawl?
Yeah. She,
if you hit her in the thwart, she is going to be sorry.
Oh, my God.
That's 2 weeks not shitting right. That's all I said.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Okay,
like
so...
back to the perfume counter.
It may be back to the perfume counter for Diana Nyad if she can't complete this. Last summer, the outswimmer attempted it twice, but she was beaten back by injury, asthma, and jellyfish stings. This old bitch is crazy, but I love her. She was attacked by jellyfish trying to make this swim last summer at 62 then. Yeah. And she's just going back. She's like, I'm going to do this. She'll be 100 years old and trying to swim from Cuba to Florida.
Well, I hadn't heard that was what she canceled.
I'm
going to
tell her that Carnival Cruise Lines.
Oh, no, they hit it on TV. They kept stinging her.
And, you know, I had the pleasure about, maybe it's about 2 years ago, I had the pleasure of interviewing Diana Nyad, and she's a great chick. So when I saw this story again, I was very happy because I want to see her succeed.
She's a great chick. Are you going to start using terms like bro?
Bro, and...
God damn.
She was not
I'm trying to do her a solid.
Her brawl was not thwarted.
Oh, and finally, yes, I am the king of predicting tennis tournaments. Once again, I have correctly predicted the outcome of a major tennis championship, as 2 weeks ago on this very program, I correctly predicted that Roger Federer and Serena Williams would take home Wimbledon trophies. The third-ranked Federer and sixth-ranked Williams won their seventh and fifth Wimbledon titles, respectively. Also, here's an interesting note.
That's really?
Fantastic.
I didn't know. He has seven?
Yes. Yeah. And it's the first time since Arthur Ashe and Billie Jean King in 1975 that both the men and women, male and female champions, were both over 30. So, and I know a lot of people who may just be casual tennis followers might say, oh, predicting Federer and Serena to win is no big deal. But actually, they were not favorites at all. Federer, neither had won a Grand Slam in a couple years. They're both over 30. Serena has been sick and injured for a long time. Federer
and very not just like she had a exhaustion or Mariah Carey disease. She was genuinely
she
sick.
Was a white woman's
sick.
Disease.
Yeah, she wasn't suffering from white woman illness.
So
and she's black. Well,
you know,
that came
and
wrong.
here's she's the truth. Both. Before every Grand Slam, my friend Ted Ripka and I always sort of make predictions on who's going to win, and we're actually rarely never right. So that's why I'm crowing about this. I'm like, I actually got one right.
When I listened that night,
that was great.
I know men's tennis. Who gives a shit? But women's tennis, because Chris Everett, Lloyd.
Yeah.
Mostly Chris Ledger. Everett before.
Yeah. I appreciate the
Lloyd.
And the Lloyd was only temporary.
Yeah, well,
true story.
I love women's tennis, and I wasn't picking a winner because I don't know enough about the whole field. But I was rooting for Serena because I thought it's time. And I did my tribute to her the day before she won. I was playing volleyball in a pool. And I did my serve, which I won't do here because I don't think our sound can take it.
I'm just trying to get that visual right now. I'm trying to get a pool and all owl right. and...
Again, and imagine it how you will, because the one day I said I was riding, sporting. And this one had me, like, jumping and doing loops. It was in a 3-foot pool and a blow-up net. But I did give you the full Serena serve.
Oh, man.
But I root for her. I mean, I root for both of them, but it's just such a charming story of them being raised in that sport and the competition between the two of them. I love their story.
You know, Serena actually has, you know, the recent injury was one thing, but she's had a few spells in her career where she was just out of it and fell out of the rankings, and some of it they attributed to her being preoccupied with other things like her clothing line or whatever. She has 14 Grand Slams now, and she should have more, and she might have more because there's no stopping her. It was funny in one of the post-game interviews, they pointed out that her sister Venus had 5 Wimbledon titles, and now Serena has 5. She said, "Well, I've always wanted everything that my sister has, so I had to go out and get this one." It was kind of cute.
And they seem to feed off each other, which I like. Yeah. I mean, not literally. They're not eating each other's hands. That's two things.
They're not llamas.
They're not llamas with hats. Google llamas with hats, and you'll fucking love it. But
people are thinking we're so random right now.
But
we are.
I love the company. Honestly, I think it's one of those great stories. When they make the TV movie, and I hope I get to play one of them.
You're not even black.
Because of the physical resemblance.
Oh, I thought the llamas.
I think I look more like the llama than I do like either Serena's
Carl.
Sister.
Carl!
I love that. We'll I love their story. Later,
buddy. God's teardrops?
No. No idea what's going on.
The old couple in 2B.
I've lost control of this segment. No, but here's the thing. Their father, Richard Williams, who is their coach as well, and he divorced. He and their mother divorced some years ago, and he has a new younger wife, and they have a baby. And they're already talking about this one growing up to be the next tennis champion in the family.
Oh, and the other one that I like that got, you know, everybody's like, well, I like him as a golfer, but I hate him as a person. Fuck you. How boring. I like him as a cheater.
Yeah.
None of my business. Tiger Woods, because my family watches golf instead of, like, I watch movies and TV and entertainment. They watch paint dry. So I've seen every fucking golf match over the last 2.5 fucking weeks.
But in HD, they're beautiful pictures.
Yeah, but let's just talk about how beautiful my TV is. No. But anyways... But Tiger Woods, who I always love, and he's a cheater, of course. No one's perfect. He's not Jesus. He's not Oprah.
He's not cheating on the golf course.
No, but I mean, he came back and he won some kind of AT&T Open, which I guess he was the hostess of, which I loved. He was the Twinkie in their mix. I don't know if I'm using the term hostess correctly, but I'm going to go with it.
I think it fits, sure.
My Drunken Stupor is brought to you by EsmeVodka.com from a lovely country called France. I've never heard of it.
No, never. We
are drinking.
Oh, sure.
I don't know what you're saying. Can we talk about Broadway now?
Please.
Well, give me just one second. If I may. Please.
May I just?
I can't get it right.
Is it that hard to quote me for the
Maybe
love
Maybe we
of God?
Should get that on a little poster
put,
and put
I am,
that up.
I am. I'm going to print every fucking thing that we're supposed to say during the show on the fucking wall.
According to Al.
Somehow, some way. But yeah, welcome.
Is there any other way? I am Oprah and Jesus.
One of those two
in my mind.
One of those two people actually exists.
And now, a drink-along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom. And that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
I don't know.
Well, here we are. It's 8:15. It's a Tuesday night. This begins the portion of our program we refer to as the drinking game. We are drinking in studio, as if you couldn't tell. And if you have a libation at home, no matter what it is, we encourage you to drink along with us, providing you follow all the rules in the disclaimer that Al Perkins just so eloquently did. He thought he was speaking live and then remembered it was recorded.
I was like, I'm still talking.
Somehow I'm still talking. I'm not sure if we've decided what is the drinking word.
It's going to be Broadway, because I figure we'll all go get drunk there.
Hey, you changed the game on
I
us.
I did. I changed the
because
game.
Because you didn't know what Carl was. Because
you don't know what Carl is.
Well, I know how to use it in
and
a sentence.
You've already.
But it's not the same.
Well, I wrote down whiskey dick because I thought it was going to be whiskey dick.
Oh!
I figured
it
would be trisexual. But...
Oh, that would have been good, too.
No, I think I either.
We're going to go with Broadway, though.
All right. So, Al, you want, since you just came from there, you want to talk about Broadway?
Does everybody have a full drink? Buddy, you're known for your cheating on the drinking game. I see a full drink in Buddy's
hands. Can I top mine up right quick?
Please do. So let me start with, I'm just going to get Clayton's pussy wet here for a second.
Talk about Ricky Martin.
I am going to talk about Ricky Martin. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, listeners at home, viewers, whatever you are. Former guest stars on Batman, the TV show. However you self-identify, trisexual or the like.
Well played.
Is there a telethon that you're fond of or you've been cherished by? Okay, so I went to see Ricky Martin.
On Broadway.
On Broadway. On Broadway. I know, luckily we're all off key and off tune, but we're not going to pay for that. We're going to drink. So we're going to drink every time I say Broadway. And let me tell you, I took a trip to Broadway, so that's like, you're going to lose this game.
I hear the lights are bright on.
Oh, Broadway. I'm going to say hello, Oblivion. Okay, so we went to see Ricky Martin specifically because, as everyone knows, I am not a fan of the show Evita.
Evita, right.
But we went to see it because I have never seen a truly professional, high-class version of Evita. And I thought, and if it sucks, I get to look at Ricky Martin from, like, 18th row center for the whole fucking thing.
I'm on board with
at
that.
At the beautiful Marquee Theater located at where? 46th yes. and Broadway.
Oh.
Broadway!
In the Marriott Marquee Hotel, which by some strange coincidence, I've seen like 35 fucking shows there. Okay, let me do. Seriously, hand to God, I'm going to kill the whole hour on this one. Okay.
Too late. I'm kidding. Go
I'm ahead. Not going to bore you. Ricky Martin, breathtakingly beautiful. The man is like molded out of some kind of mocha cheese /
Butter?
Oh, God. Why did Menudo kick him out? He looks good at like 40-something.
Because he got over the age range.
I don't give a shit. If it looks that good, honey, you still fuck it. You don't kick it to the curb.
We're not.
Mocha cheese doesn't sound good.
I don't care if you're Jerry Sandusky. It if sounds the kid's good over 12, me. You still hit it.
Mocha cheese sounds good to me.
So inappropriate, you talked right over it. But listeners at home will be offended.
Do you want to say it again?
I said, Jerry Sandusky shouldn't kick them out because they're 12. Keep hitting them. They're hot.
Oh my God.
Sometimes you got to take the devil's advocate side.
Sure.
Okay, so this show, in the Marquee, Evita, the actress, not the greatest singer, and I know me and Barbara Seville are going to come to blows at Charlie's one night over this when she hears the soundtrack album. She is not the greatest singer, and she has that shrill quality that Patti LuPone had. She really did. I mean, the only person I think can sing the show seriously is Madonna. She's the only, because they let her do it in a studio, like, live. It's a tough fucking show.
It is very.
Very, very tough show. This woman could act. And on stage, she left stage maybe for a grand total of 6 minutes in the course of 2.5 hours. She went from 14 to dead. And I mean, you got that she was sick. You got that she was not well. Changing of wigs, changing of costumes. She aged in front of you without leaving the stage. It was lighting tricks. It was like people putting on makeup when she turned around. It was a...
That's the magic of Broadway.
It was a... Oh, we get to drink them a little bit. Look at my nipples are hard. I'm all goosebumps talking about it.
She came out,
and I am not a fan of the show. She walked out from the Castle Rosada, the palace, and she was glowing. When she did Don't Cry for Me, Argentina, the lighting, the sets... The palace was gorgeous, 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 gorgeous. And she looked like a lit-up Christmas tree angel. She came out and sang and did the Don't Cry for Me, Argentina. And it's a acting song because that metaphor is so fucking stupid. What are you talking about? I mean, that metaphor needs work. It was a brilliant moment
Broadway,
of like
yes.
on Broadway of every single thing that you go to Broadway. And the reason you pay big bucks and you don't go to see a touring company is you go to watch... All of it come together, and it was beautiful. And he's not Che Rivera anymore. They've gotten rid of that artificial concept because that was even dumber than the fucking metaphor. Che Rivera was nowhere near Argentina.
That was dumb. I never understood that.
And they're like decades apart, and it makes no sense. He's now the everyman in the crowd.
Which is the way it should have been. I never understood that.
It was a 70s concept and it's not Mandy Patinkin. And now you don't have to listen to that fucking goddamn Mandy Patinkin ruin Broadway for every human being.
Broadway.
All right.
So they replaced... Ricky Martin with his beautiful voice, great acting. He did, because they have to enunciate every word. It's a lot of information. It's all exposition. There is not 1 minute of anything but exposition in the story. He was brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. He got it all across. He tangoed like a dream when he dipped her. Oh my God. It was really what Broadway is all about to me. I mean, it was every single thing you could want from this show. And when she died, and I have this down in my notes.
Spoiler alert.
Evita's dead.
Hey, by the way, the Titanic sank
I was
going
to say the same thing.
Sorry to let you know.
But sadly, she would probably only be about, I think she'd be younger than Ernest Borgnine
now. Yeah, I think you're right.
If she had lived.
Well, yes.
That was a nice, I didn't know if we'd fit him in the show, but we did.
So, well done.
So as she's dying, and what they do now with things that they revive that have become a movie, they'll bring in extra songs. Like Cabaret always has maybe this time in
right.
it. And the abortion is now in the, and anytime you see the musical of Cabaret, there's an abortion in it because that's topical. Okay. She sings You Must Love Me.
Oh, I love that.
Now I got to tell you, with Madonna, she sang it, You Must Love Me. Like it was clinging and like just dragging you to her. Like, you must love me. Like, that's all she wanted from life was, you must love me. In this one, and this is my favorite thing about acting choices, as she's lying there and she's dying in Perón's arms, and she's like, I have no power. Like, I have nothing left to offer you. She's singing, oh my God, you must love me.
Wow.
You must actually love me because I have nothing left to give you. So the reason you're here with me is you must love me. And I'm like,
it's an observation.
Let me look at my nipples are hard. Like, somebody get a picture of my nipples are hard. Like,
you know, that's the first time I've ever thought of that song as an observation and not a command.
A command. And it was such a beautiful.
Wow.
I am not, no exaggeration. The Marquee Theater is beautiful. It's in a hotel. I've seen so many shows there. Honest to God, when it started, the waltz of Che and Rivera, which I would not leave here until I could get the waltz on Che and Evita onto my phone. It's my favorite song from the show, and the acting of that song, of like, why would I bother? When he's like trying to tell her, why don't you have an impossible dream? Why aren't you out for the people? And she's like, what good would it do me? And then at the end she says, and what good would it do if I could live for 100 years, but my body is falling apart and I'm dying? And the song ends with, and even if I had these noble visions, I'm dying. And she like, and then she just aged in front of your eyes. I don't know how she did it on stage, and just her acting. It was.
Was this stage on Broadway?
Oh, it was on Broadway. It was brilliant, 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 brilliant. It was so well done.
Allison drinking enough.
I know.
Oh, okay. But I'm driving.
He insisted on this drinking
right.
word.
Yeah, I know.
And insisted that Buddy doesn't usually play along.
I know. Okay. Right, so one more thing. For the gays out there that weren't enthralled by that newsies, ladies and gentlemen. Newsies. I think his name is Jeremy Jordan, and I didn't have to. Okay, Jeremy Jordan. Okay, puberty went on. I watched people go through puberty on Broadway. Now, I say this all the time. When you see the bodyguard and that thing lights up her name, and she's like, "I have nothing," and that note hits and the key changes, I'm like,
right.
"Drag queens are born!" Mm-hmm. Like right there, here. 30 gay boys at 14 years, like, "Oh, we're in a dress," you know, on Broadway. They are so ready. Oh my God, Buddy, you are really playing along. Okay, so this show opened at the Paper Mill Playhouse in Jersey. It was kind of not going well. They did it as a limited run, thinking it would become a theme park show. They would just get a little mileage out of it. Oh, no. This is the wicked plan. It's at the Niederlander, which should have been condemned.
Oh my God.
The Rent Theater.
Oh, yeah, and they played homeless people because that theater should be condemned.
Yes.
It is a piece of shit on 41st Street.
It's kind of scary.
Oh, it's more than scary there, and there's no working toilets. But they're playing it in a tiny theater because the thought was this show may fail and we're going to become a theme park show and run forever with, like, semi-telethon-ready dancers that go on cruise ships, but we've all dated them, so no judgment. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, this show is designed for gay men of a certain age, mine.
I'm right behind you.
And
on that
14-year-old queens. Oh, my God, 14-year-old girls. It is. There's one woman in the entire show, and the rest is just hot men dancing. Rob Ashford choreography, and I love my Rob Ashford. I will go look for him anywhere he's doing choreography. It is brilliant choreography. They're so sexy. And Jeremy Jordan may not be the greatest singer in the world, but he has his power notes. And he's so fucking cute that when he smiles and hits a note, you could hear pubic hair growing. Like, you could actually hear teenage girls go into puberty. No, I'm not. I'm not even kidding you. Like, the sexual energy in that room was off the fucking charts.
One thing that I noticed on the number they did on the Tony Awards, and Aaron will appreciate this, during the number they did on the Tony Awards, I'm pointing out, like, three or four different guys.
From So You Think You Can Dance.
So You Think You Can Dance. I'm like, and him? And him?
Because they have their target audience, and they were brilliant. Oh, so good. The kid, Jesse Lopresto, that was the Broadway guy, kind of, he was good. Alex Wong with the two.
Oh, he's amazing.
Twice tore his Achilles tendons.
And the little homo kid.
Yes.
Are you really referring to somebody on this show as the little homo
kid? Well, if you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, pick one.
But you're thinking about Jesse Lopresto.
No, I'm not. There's a... I know
the little homo
this one was
kid.
Really effective.
And wasn't there Casper's act
too? Evan. His name is Evan. Yeah. His name is Evan. I mean, that number, and I like. I just saw Lacage at Gamage, and Christopher Siebert stopped the show. So I can't say that I haven't seen a show stopped in a long time.
He's a good
but I will
kid.
Tell you when that number. The we all stand together. It's it's a union song. So of course in New York it's the big rallying cry. It's about unions and standing together.
And
they
Broadway.
Did that number on Broadway.
Yes,
Broadway. I cannot tell you on a Broadway stage. Stop the show cold. That ovation. They had to stand there and hold that pose for a good 5 to 6 minutes of applause. Matt was hooting and hollering. I almost came and.
Not on Jan Brewer's face, though.
I say this all the time. Like, there were girls there that finally figured out what their sexuality was when this kid smiled and they danced, and it went on and on. And there's a number in the second act that did the same thing. Stop the show cold, and they had to stand in one position. People were, like, standing up in the aisles. The ovation went on forever.
Oh, God.
It's what you go to New York for. I mean, it was... Oh.
What you go to Broadway for, really.
It's Broadway. It's what you go to Broadway
for.
Did
we lose Marnie to the restroom again?
Even if you don't get to go see it, download the damn soundtrack. Inspiring, goosebumpy music.
Oh, it is.
Is that
it
something
is.
You'll be buying out? Because I won't.
Yes,
I already have it. I'll shoot it to you.
But in the Book of Mormon, as I said, when I called 2 weeks ago,
good
was...
God.
I mean, punch you in the cunt funny. And, I'm not even making it up. That's a line from the show.
Uh-huh.
Fucker in the cunt, not the ass. I mean, it is so... funny.
It's fantastic.
It has an AIDS frog. I mean, it is so...
An AIDS frog, yes.
Yes. Fuck me now and the ass, face, and cunt, I think is actually one of the lines.
Oh,
ass,
was...
mouth, and cunt.
Mom, I know you're listening out there,
Saints.
And I just...
So go see the Book of Mormon. I'm serious. There was two old ladies, and I probably said this when I called in, but now there's no delay. two ladies from Jersey that had driven in their, I would say, late 60s. They were there. They were in their sparkly, sequined Broadway outfits. Their hair.
Purple hat club type.
Their hair was up. They were not going near pools on Broadway. They were so ready. They sat down all prim and proper. I'm going to drink. Seriously, it was one of the best trips I've had. Prim and proper. They sat down, and I looked at, well, I wasn't with anybody because I went by myself, but I looked at the person next to me. I'm like, they're going to walk out like 30 minutes into this. When they said, fucker in the ass, not the cunt, and the lady turned to her friend, she goes, oh, cunt. And I was like, oh, my God. She not only, she repeated it.
She's on board.
But I have to tell you, like, brilliant songwriters, because they know what they're making fun of. They got the King and I. They took the – now I'm going to bore everybody with this. But they
– not me.
They are so good, because if you've seen Bigger, Longer, and Uncut, the South Park movie.
Oh, I have.
They take on the quintet from West Side Story. And you can enjoy it without knowing West Side Story. But they actually take the quintet from West Side Story, and they do the quintet. And they do it. And they do it full on. Like, there's five different parts singing, and they get the story, and they get the revolution going, and they make fun of Beauty and the Beast with this provincial life. Like, they know what they're parodying, but they still write a good song, and they did it in this one. They took the King and I, where they present Uncle Tom's Cabin, and they do it kind of wrong, but they do it in the tone of, like, the people of Siam not understanding what they're reading.
Right.
They did the Book of Mormon as they were taught it, and they brought it back with Star Wars, Star Trek, Lord of the Rings. I mean, Darth Vader is in the Book of Mormon, according to these people. And it was so...
No,
it was so fucking funny, and I was, like, kicking my feet. I was laughing so hard. Tears were coming to my face, and I was like, pause! Pause.
Yeah.
Somebody let me breathe.
You put something on Facebook about that, and I could picture you. And it was one of my favorite things of when you were gone. Like, just to be able to picture you enjoying something that much.
That much. And this is for you, buddy. I was, because I'm putting all my music back on iTunes. So my favorite thing on Broadway, and the only thing I've gone, well, now I've seen two things twice on Broadway. Broadway.
Drink.
Broadway. Chug. You're in Town. I put You're in Town on. Hail Mathis. I listened to that and I couldn't turn it off. I had to listen to all of You're in Town and I was giggling through the whole thing like I could see them. Because I could picture them.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even know I had a heart. I mean, it's fucking funny. And I'm done. So 8:29. You're
pretty
good.
Have you seen Next to Normal?
Yes.
I only have the soundtrack. Have you seen it on Broadway?
I saw it on Broadway.
Okay.
Original cast.
Oh, God.
Pulitzer Prize winning. And my drunk friend Gina, who hates everything that I do in New York because she thinks I go for the wrong reason. Oh, wait. I do have one more topic. She was so fucking drunk. She walked out of the show and said, this is misogynistic. And she stumbled out of the show because she'd been passed out for all of it. So she heard one line and she was dying to walk out because she's such a cunt.
All right.
Well. I love you, Gina, but I will never go see a Broadway show with you again.
Gina.
No. She knows. I've already told her, I will never. She bought the ticket and she's like, I want to go. Well, go. Who's fucking stopping you?
Right.
I don't walk out of shows, even if they're, I said through Spider-Man. So, and this has come up in the last 2 weeks. I heard it on this show a couple times from you. My brother-in-law said it. People say it all the time. Oh, I would only go to New York with Al. When you, right? I know I'm talking a lot, but.
No, that's what I say.
Right.
But when you go to New York, everyone's trip is different. And I did this, I for a couple of years I brought friends there, and a couple of years ago I brought some people I didn't like all that much. And I realized, what I go there for and what you go there for, my friend is all in about design. She wanted to go see the Parsons School of Design. Somebody wanted to go see the new school.
Is Tim Gunn there?
Huh?
Is Tim Gunn at
Parsons? No, exactly. Now I would go see that, too. Now if that was part of my thing.
I love him.
One of the things I got to do was I went to the Barney's Warehouse clearance sale, which if you watch Will and Grace, they talk about that every single season.
People punch each other for that shit.
But I have been there where the guys take off their clothes and try on clothes off the rack right in front of you. It's naked guys with disco music. I'm like, this is the best club ever.
When is this sale?
I'll ask you. Tell me. So I just want to tell people, if you go to New York, you don't specifically want me as your tour guide unless you've seen every Barbara.
I do.
Well, yes, because we're on the same page. Uh-huh. But if you're not familiar with every Barbara Streisand movie and you're not going to stand outside of the Winter Garden Theater crying,
sure,
I'm not your tour guide.
You know what I love to do in New York, because I've been to New York a number of times.
Have you been to Broadway?
I have been to Broadway a lot.
If you're not drinking at home, you should be in the bag.
My favorite thing to do in New York City. And there's a lot of great things to do.
My favorite thing to do is
just walk from one end of Manhattan
to the other, and pretend
that I'm a New Yorker.
And so fast. You walk so fast. I love it.
And just take it all in and pretend that I live there.
I love it. I've gotten fatter since last you've seen me. So I made my friend Matt Maratska. I made him walk everywhere. We were not allowed to take a subway home. I'm like, I am so fat, we have to walk. So we walked from Broadway to the West Village every night.
Oh, love it.
Because in that heat, I'm like, no fucking way are we taking a subway. I weigh too much. My family just sits around and stares at golf and eats.
That's probably how people know I'm not a New Yorker, because I will walk from Wall Street up to the Upper East Side.
Yeah.
And no one who lives in New York does that.
Oh, and a lovely walk is the old Virgin's Megastore is gone, but I would walk from the Virgin Megastore to when Matt lived on the Upper West Side around 96th Street, 97th Street, and I would walk that whole way. I would go in September, and that was my favorite walk, walk up the Upper West Side.
I'm sure that this is not, and again, just
but it
not
starts being, at Broadway, because Virgin familiar. Megastore
well,
is in Broadway.
Done. Not to be silly about it, but is Central Park by Broadway?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Central Park.
Because that's where I've always
just a little north
through there.
And there's time. And that's another thing that I do. As stupid as this is, I like to go down to the 42nd Street Station and just watch the performers.
Okay.
Because it's always somebody with a saxophone or somebody with a pickle tub, and they're doing their drumming. Right. And
sounds romantic. Very romantic.
And you go in at the entrance by Columbus Square. Because what I like to do, and I do this every single time, and I manage to squeeze it in this time, is I stand at Army Circle. And I look at the plaza, and I, in my mind, go through the last 10 minutes of The Way We Were, where Barbara Streisand went. Because that, to me, is New York. It's where Barbara Streisand is. I'll stand in front of the Winter Garden where Funny Girl played, and I just stand there because Barbara Streisand stood here at one point, because she had to stand in front of the theater and say, I'm the star of Funny Girl. Like, she was 19 or 20 years old. Like,
did you get a chance? Because I don't know if the previous time, whenever
I love Barbara Streisand, by the
whenever
way.
It was that you
I've
were,
heard that.
Whenever it was that you were in New
I
York,
that was
if
just
it
a
was
rumor.
If it was completed yet. But did you get a chance to walk the High Line?
Yes,
loved that. That I loved that.
It is beautiful, and the High Line has now continued. It goes to 30th Street between like 10th and 11th. Uh-huh. And my friend Gina, the one that I will never go see a Broadway show with again.
I hear she's a cunt.
She's not really a
rumor
cunt.
Has
okay,
it.
Oh. She's very funny. She's very funny.
My okay.
What's going on in the chat room?
Nothing.
Anyway?
Because okay. Well. Doug says that you're absolutely right about New York City. There are 1,000 different ways to do New York City. Everyone can afford it. Can do it a different way.
Yeah, and you should. And you should do it. Whatever means something to you. But that High Line now goes that far. Yeah. So now you start right by. It's funny because it starts near Matt's apartment or Matt's old apartment. Now he's a little bit inland. But you walk to the High Line. You go up, and it's an old elevated railway car that goes along the West Side Highway. And you're kind of above the fray, and there's art installations on people's roofs. There's hotels that cross.
And we
it.
Saw two people having sex. And,
yes, and people have sex on
because
purpose
there's
in
a
the
building
windows.
That was just nothing but windows from.
Oh, there's okay, apartment okay. complexes all along it, and now they're building apartment complexes to kind of line it, and you get a lovely view of the river. But there's all these installations. There's a taco truck up there that's called Taco
love
Truck,
it.
And there's also I love this app on. What's this thing called?
iPad,
iPhone.
You can get the taco truck iPad, and they're recommending it as a date night. Is Google
oh,
like where's your closest taco truck? Like to us, it would be the one at Charlie's,
right?
And it's a fun
oh,
way to go to dinner
and
just
that's
get a taco
great.
Truck.
Cute.
That is adorable.
So in New York on the High Line, you go under an underpass, and you're in this what was obviously a train station at one point for you know whatever happened there. I think it was like grain or it was things coming in from the piers. And they have a taco truck
nice.
Under there. They have people playing instruments. There's like artists like trying to get a dollar out of you. It's wonderful. And the Chelsea Piers are beautiful with all the gay people and their dogs. And you would have loved it. I thought of you immediately. Because it's all the gays and their dogs. And they're laying
oh,
out.
Gays and dogs are my favorite.
Lesbian dykes and dogs. But they're laying out along the river in bikini.
The look on Clayton's face right now is priceless. Because he's asleep.
But you would love it because they're all Puerto Rican, which is just like Mexican if you're playing the Dateline
okay.
game at home.
Clayton. You said lesbians
Clayton.
And dogs. I don't care about
no,
Puerto Rican lesbians.
No, I said gays and dogs.
Or gay
yeah,
I'll pet the dogs. You pet the boys.
No, it was gay.
There you have it.
As long as you can get the dogs to go home with you and I can take the boys with me, we're good.
Dunzo.
There wasn't a lot of lesbians there. It was mostly hot gay men. Thanks for telling everybody. I just want to let you know.
Good, thank you.
The lesbians are somewhere else.
You gotta take.
And hopefully we don't find them. Hopefully.
But then there's a straight section
are.
Down
they're
south.
They're probably named oh. Brenda or Robin, though.
according to Buddy and Lady, they're not down
oh, they're
south.
All at the Olive Garden.
They're at a chain restaurant somewhere, perhaps Z Tejas, not north.
So I hate to bore you all, but I did travel. Now, Aaron, a short word about, because I took all the time. And we're going to switch our word now to the monument.
yes.
By the way, before we go any further, because we've got a few minutes left in this segment, do you have our question for the night?
Yeah.
Okay, got it. Go ahead, Aaron.
No, I never do.
That's a good face. I saw the Washington Monument, yes.
Yes.
Multiple times. Yeah, we did some sightseeing stuff. I was working mostly.
Do you know why the reflecting pond actually is drained?
Yes, it was starting to get moldy, and it started to smell, and the locals complained about it so much.
They need Leslie Poole.
That sounds like Jan Brewer.
Oh! Not on Broadway.
Not on Broadway, uh-huh.
Down there.
So, if I may.
Do you ever have that not-so-fresh feeling?
May I just? Back to New York without
okay.
being rude to my girl.
No, I'm done. My trip's over now.
Oh.
She yeah. wasn't in New York.
No. Exactly.
No, but, okay.
He was asking about D.C.
Got it.
But the one thing that you didn't mention, unless I was gone, and I apologize, is the idea of the Twin Towers.
Oh.
And where they
okay.
were, because I've heard that is brilliant.
Okay,
and
so they put the roof on, and I'll get the numbers wrong, but there's like, because there was always seven World Trade Centers. Mm-hmm. There was, you know, one and two were the tall buildings, three was a hotel, four,
sure,
five, six,
yeah,
and
yeah.
seven. Seven is the one that's still the conspiracy theories, and this is the only one I'm on board with. It looks like it was raised.
Okay.
That does not look like it fell on its own. That looks like it was blown up on purpose. Can't help it. Google it.
There
it,
you go.
It doesn't look right. And they kind of reported that it fell about an hour before it actually did.
okay.
Couple things go along with that. But anyway, so they're building the centers in one of the buildings, and I'm not sure what number it is. I know that number one is now the Freedom Tower or whatever they call it. And the other one, Obama signed the last beam when I was there. They attached the top beam to the next one. If you're standing further north and looking south, it looks like Trump's new building is part of it. but it's not.
Oh, thank God!
It's a little. Right? It's a little north. Right? But
any comb over.
Any TV show that you see now, if they're gonna do that iconic shot like they used to at the World Trade Center, it's gonna look like Trump's Tower is part of the World Trade, and it's not. It's because, and you know how the Marriott looks like it, that building that's kind of rectangular, always looked like it was part of Building 7. It's that same thing where it's just off to the distance, but that Marriott always looked like it was part of Building 7. And it's not. Same with One Liberty.
Clayton had a thing that, it wasn't it that you had asked me to watch that Rise of the...
Oh, there was a documentary on Discovery Channel about literally from start to whatever their completion was at the time of the production. What they go what
Rise
they're going
of the
through
tower or something, yeah.
It's insane. How they're building it, like a floor a week is what they're doing.
Yes.
And how it all gets trucked in, it's miles and miles, like all the staging is miles out of the city, and they have this orchestration of, it's 24/7,
this
orchestration of trucks in and out and people and this and that.
And coming from New Jersey
it's
over
insane.
To New York.
Right.
But the thing that I love is that the last piece of that I watched was that they had, and I'm going to get all of this wrong, but like engineers that came in and made it so that the way that things are set in there. I don't mean to sound stupid.
The
but
footprints?
The footprints, where all that is. That when the sun hits a specific time, that the
light comes through the building.
And it's at, it's when the sun is rising at 9/11 or whatever it is.
9:36 whatever it is.
On 9/11, I get that. But I thought it was at the same time.
It's got a specific time where they fell. Or,
right.
Yes.
And there's something that, however they did it, so that it would come through the buildings and it would shine on those time. And I'm amazed, but
the building that's not up yet, that will go in between the one that they just completed and I think they're calling it the Freedom Tower. I may be wrong on that.
I think that's right.
But it will reflect everything around it.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. It's coming off. The sun is coming off of those.
But no, but all day long, when you look at it, all you will see back is the reflection of all that's around it. It's like a mirror of the setting. And it's supposed to be beautiful, but at night they light it up. And it's not Christmas lights, but it looks like twinkling lights. So they have... Because when the towers were up and you would look at them at night and there was people in the offices, so certain lights would be on, and I always say it looked like a light bright. Like you would always try to make a pattern out of the office lights that were on. And now it's like twinkling lights, and it's so gentle and pretty. And I slept with him, Alex Garcia. We were sleeping together, we were butt buddies for a while or whatever the term may be on Broadway.
On Broadway.
While you were
Whiskey Dick?
During this last trip?
No, this was years
ago. Okay.
But
I was like, his
great claim to fame was to help me get cabs going the right way so I wouldn't have to pay for the cab to swing around and go the other way. So he would always tell me to be like, okay, you want to go uptown. So he was like, remember New York, New York, the movie with Gene Kelly. The Bronx is up, the battery's down. And that's how I learned the subways. And he would be like, when you go to, and if you've ever seen the movie Trick, Matt's old apartment was right to the south by Caliente Cab Company. Matt's from that subway stop where he makes the phone call at the end from Trick and tells him that he loves him, right there. And I used to love to stand there. And he would say to me, Alex, he would say, look for the Trade Center and watch the traffic. If you want to go uptown and the traffic is going away, then you need to, you know, like he helped me he helped me save money, and it was just one of those cute little things. So now that there hasn't been a Trade Center for all these years, whenever I go there and I get to the West Village, I'm all turned around.
You're lost.
Because that big monument to your left is gone. Well, now it's back again. So now you're like, well, that's obviously south. And now you have your bearings to move your way, because the West Village is all very twisty, windy streets, and nothing goes together. It's all diagonals. And when you get down there, you're like, well, that's clearly south, because there it is. It's lit up like it's just beautiful again. Yeah. So it's a wonderful feeling, and it's that thing that we all did after 9/11, and it was on the internet briefly that everyone was a New Yorker for that minute.
Yes,
like we all were New Yorkers, and that was that feeling again of like we need to bring that back. Like,
I was there 2 months almost to the day. It was actually Pearl Harbor Day that we were in New York, and it was amazing. It said we're not going to Ground Zero, we're not doing it, because we didn't want it to be, you know, paparazzi. We didn't want it to be like we're going down there to see this. And what we ended up doing was taking the subway, and we got off and we just walked and walked and walked, and all of a sudden we couldn't figure out what that smell was. And we couldn't figure out why we were getting kind of choked up by whatever this was. And it was still what was coming off of Ground Zero.
Sure.
And it was like all of a sudden I looked over and it was that like through buildings, I looked to my right and there was a Statue of Liberty and I said, son of a bitch, we're right by Ground Zero.
Yeah.
And I looked to my left and that's where you saw like the, for being an ass, a cutout basically of what looked like the Roman, do you remember that picture where it looked like the...
dramatic pause.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I don't mean it to be. I just, I can't think because, of it. Because it looked like about. The Colosseum.
Was the pause on
it
Broadway?
Like the
I know.
Nice. Thank you, Clay. Yes, thank you. Bring it back.
Anyway, it did. It looked like the Colosseum. And it was this, it was, the whole thing was just amazing. And we ended up walking down that way. And it just, the idea of what they've now done. And right. been able to do.
And it's taken so
astounding.
Long because of bureaucracy. It's taken yes. way too long.
And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get heavy with that, but yeah.
Oh, that wasn't heavy. I'm just trying to wrap up for time. That wasn't heavy. That's New York.
Astounding. I should have been funny.
Hey, he ain't heavy. He's Clayton.
He's my brother.
I've decided that we... I don't think we drink enough during the show, obviously.
Esme.com has put me under the bus. Like, I want to tell you.
And
we're,
the reason
we're out of juice over here, Marnie didn't bring enough.
You're the
yeah, I did. There's more in there.
You're the, no, you brought not. Two yeah. bottles of vodka.
Oh, yeah, but we don't have anything to put it in.
There's Al still has vodka.
Well, we have two full bottles. We have peach and raspberry to go.
See,
with our
these bitches.
Water.
So what are you missing? Then?
Shut up and drink. For the love of God, I don't know how we've lost control of this, but at this point, this is where we are in the show.
And now, thoughtful vulgarity, where we in the studio. Try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel and have them try to answer it while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when an important question comes up 90 minutes after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? You're fucked up. What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? You've been warned. Good luck.
It is our final segment. It's 8:46. It's a Tuesday night. We're in Central Phoenix. I don't know where you are, but God damn it, you should be drinking because we are. Because you know why? We're on Broadway.
All right. Our question today.
By the way, I have to give you a proper introduction for this. I mean, this is how this works.
Okay, go ahead.
The disclaimer is done by Al Perkins, and the question is spoken by Al Perkins. And at this point, I'd like to turn it over to none other than. Al Perkins.
Ooh, that was suspenseful.
There was no dramatic pause.
I should have done.
For a minute, I didn't know who he was going to say.
But I think if we're going to do a dramatic pause at all, we should do it this way. And now.
And now, the rest of the story.
There we go. Take it away, Al.
Okay, so as we're talking about this, I came to this, and Aaron, I hope that not only are you our fact checker, but you're going to play. Is there a place that you go to just kind of be inspired, to just kind of like sit and take it in that really
if
like...
If you say Marnie, I am going to kill you right now.
Oh, now I don't have any answer. No.
Is it Jan Brewer's face that you like come to?
On Broadway.
Jesus, I need a drink after that.
No, but I think this needs to be a geographic.
I can play this here guitar.
This needs to be a geographic thing as opposed to a person.
No, of course, absolutely.
May I quantify your question?
Oh, of course. I meant a place
I would have gone to.
Here's how I. And this will mean nothing to Clayton because he doesn't want to movies. But I call it my Red Earth of Tara.
I have no idea. I got it.
Tara, depending on how you pronounce it. No, Gone with the Wind.
Gone with the Wind.
Where they always say she has to go back to the Red Earth of Tara. Like, she has to actually get that dirt in her fingernails to feel her strength again.
So, I have one. That's an easy one for me. Good. When it's not 140 degrees out, as it is now, I, every Sunday morning, take my big old pit bull hiking. And when I get to the top of a mountain, I sit there. Don't make a face though, I'm pit bull. I get to the top of the mountain, and it's like I'm not a churchgoer. I'm not a Jesus person, but it's my moment of reflection and one with nature, and I'm inspired by it on Sunday morning with nothing but my dog and my Broadway music.
Is there a place?
Truly, I do listen to Broadway.
That was nice. I like that.
I told you, they had to separate us because we were so in love with Leslie.
I know.
But is there a specific mountain that you go to? Like, is this a specific place, or is it just the art of being above the
city? It's the art of it. There's a really nice, moderate hike by my old school, because I'm switching schools for next year, and it's not well-traveled. So it's a good hike for me and the dog, and it's not very populated, so it's nice. It's just a little It's my solace on Sunday mornings.
Very nice.
I don't think the word solace has ever been uttered on this show.
Because I don't offer a lot of time for solace.
Yeah.
But Marnie. Oh, God.
Nice
Fuck
try.
You.
Nice
Look at Marnie got one reprieve in all this yeah. time. Somebody went before you.
I know. Actually, I have three places. It's dependent on when
it's
I am.
It's only a two-hour show.
By the way, stop, I say. You never say that to Al.
I can't stop him.
What did you say to me?
You're adorable. No, there are three different places. It depends on where I am. If I'm here, truly, it's just my backyard. Being able to go into my backyard.
Oh, I would agree with that because no. I've been in your backyard.
No, thank you.
Wait, that was not a double entendre. Wait a minute.
Stop.
No, yeah, but I can see, aside from all those critters you have,
yeah, I
can see how that would be a solace. Because if my yard was like yours and I had a larger yard with grass and all that, yeah, I can see that.
Back, it's like you go back there and there, for those that haven't been there, are tens of listeners or six of listeners.
Both people.
Tyler,
Doug has never been. Doug has never been in your house.
He was invited on 4th of July.
Tyler
hasn't
been there.
But, you know, the idea is that back in the backyard, there are the trees and there's the pool and it's just, I don't know, with the sky and everything, it's just beautiful. And in Minnesota, it would be Minnehaha Falls. It's one of the most gorgeous places that I've ever been in my life.
It's a real place?
It's a real place. You can look it up. It's Minnehaha. Absolutely gorgeous.
All right.
And otherwise, my grandma's backyard in Iowa. It would be... Remember when we went
She's on three.
I said there were three,
okay,
if you
okay,
listen.
Good. All right.
But Clayton, I understood it when you and I went to... Shake that up. When
might have liquor in it.
Yeah, a lot. When we went to your grandparents' home.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And Mike's. And we went there, like, just that whole idea of that peace and whatnot. That my grandma's backyard is the same way in Iowa, where just the flowers and the everything, where you hear the train. It's the most... That would be the place if I had to pick one for sure. But hearing the train and the calming, it's wonderful.
And just one follow up question: you may have said it, and I didn't.
You
I missed
no
it.
Attention
no, no, I did. I've been listening. But what is it about the place? What does it give you? I'm missing that.
It just it's
is it
a peace?
Okay, okay.
It's a piece that I can't explain. That certainly there's nowhere else that I can find that. But those three places.
Perfect.
Just amazing.
Well, she left one out, but she doesn't want to get dirty on the radio.
Oh, we appreciate
and
that.
And it's Broadway.
Or
we
Broadway.
We appreciate that.
Yeah. Okay.
We don't want to hear about you guys
I've never tried to
it.
Pull a cold grilled cheese sandwich apart.
What was my question again?
I don't know.
I found three. Sorry.
Al, do you want to reiterate the question for the listeners who are just tuning in?
Seriously, don't remember.
Something about where you go to be inspired.
Oh, good. Yeah, yes.
Much
okay.
like
no,
your
I'm
trip
good.
To New York City.
Do you not write these things down?
No. I think of them right before we go on.
Organically.
Has he not? I do.
What are you, new, Clayton?
Yes, apparently. To my own show, I'm new. Fuck you, people. Go ahead.
Fuck you.
What's your name, buddy?
Yes.
Buddy? Yeah,
Broadway
go ahead.
Broadway Buddy.
As far as I know.
Broadway Buddy.
Broadway!
Oh, we're drinking again.
I think you'd be a great Broadway Buddy.
I think I would be. Okay, so
thank
Al
you.
Is maybe the only person who might have seen this movie called Peter's Friends.
Yes. Oh.
Why have I heard of that?
Well, when I...
Kenneth Branagh.
Yeah. Okay. Rita Rudner.
Yep.
Anyway.
Freakish.
I have a once a year thing I do in San Diego with a bunch of old college friends.
With a hand towel or no?
No. We were, you know, and these are my oldest friends, you know, just go back, you know, two decades we've been friends. And when we were in college, we were in a sketch comedy troupe, much like Saturday Night Live, you know, that we performed every Friday.
I could see where you might be good at that.
It was the best.
They're on his Facebook. Look up
might.
The pictures. They're on his Facebook.
Best thing I've ever done. I mean, it's amazing. And we were very tight, not just as friends, but just...
Well, come on!
We were very tight.
Sarge
not just
Castillo,
friends,
he is tight.
But, you know, like, we had a real...
I'm playing
I thought this segment was supposed to be serious.
He told me I had to be funny.
I thought this segment was supposed to be serious.
It is serious. Shut the fuck up, everybody.
You know, but, like, we were tight not just as friends, but, you know, we had a real chemistry when we performed together, and we just all clicked.
Kind of like this show.
And, yeah. No, not at all.
Not at all.
And we've been really tight ever since. So what we started doing... Whoa. Come on.
On Broadway.
So what we started doing about 12 or 13 years ago is we started getting together annually in San Diego. We'd rent a beach house for a long weekend, and we just get together and party all weekend and just catch up, have a great time. Clayton thinks I need another beer.
I think you do. Your beer is empty.
And when I'm there, it's not necessarily a peaceful time because we kind of party like we're still in our 20s, which is totally dumb.
No, it's not.
And it's a result of poor life decisions on most of our part. But it sort of just gives you a perspective on things like, you know what, this is what it's about, these people. And no matter what the problems I'm having throughout the rest of the year, you know, people, whether they be whatever relationships that I'm having problems in, I'm like, these people are always going to be here. And for those 4 days that we're there in that beach house on Mission Beach, it's the best time of my life. And like I said, these are the people that I'm not going to say I live for this, but it is something that I look forward to every year and know that through the bad times, hey, come October, I'm going to be on a beach house with Kim and Wendy and Dave and Steve and Lloyd and blah, blah, blah.
May I go? Even if I don't have anything to say, like, I just want to go to the beach house.
Here's the thing is, over the years, it's gotten very controversial because there's all kinds of friends and hangers-on and people who were sort of in the group who beg to come. No, sorry.
Well, you also
right. exclusive.
I'm willing to be described as a friend or a hanger
exclusive.
On.
But that sounds like one of the things where it's like you go somewhere like you're going out and no boyfriends or girlfriends are allowed.
No,
it's like it's the core group.
We tried that 1 year. We said you can bring significant others, and I think
all went to shit.
Three people did, and the rest of the they were all like boyfriends or girlfriends. The people with spouses were like, I don't want them fucking here. No way.
Right.
So we tried that 1 year.
It never goes
again.
The way you think.
Never again.
No, you're
because
right.
Because even if they're the greatest people, they disrupt the chemistry.
Right.
And it's going to be, when we're 80, we're going to be doing this.
I love that.
And so that's my place. And
I love that.
That's just once a year. But also, if we're talking about a more regular thing, Clayton knows I like to take walks, you know, several nights a week.
He does. Nice.
And that's how I, just walking through my Central Phoenix neighborhood, it clears my head and gives me a chance to get perspective on things. Yeah, exactly.
Do you go by yourself?
Yeah.
And you prefer that.
Uh-huh.
I would be the same way.
You should get a dog. Rescue a pit bull and walk that on the rocks.
Okay, that's two no's. Okay.
I'm going to shoot somebody.
Clayton McKee. Am I pronouncing that correctly? Because I've been gone for a while.
I thought it was Mackie.
It's still my show, yes.
I know. I know. I haven't fixed that yet.
No. Actually, truth be known, he pulled me aside and said I can't change it because it's more funny when he tries to take over.
Right, yeah.
Mutiny on the air.
It makes for good TV. Are we on TV?
We are on TV.
Are we on Broadway? Yeah. Hey, Clayton.
We're on Broadway.
Nicely done. Before you answer, I just want to let you know that the cab driver who dropped me off, according to Sue, is Gildor, or according to his birth certificate, Leonard.
Okay. That's a tough choice. That's like Sophie's Choice. I don't know.
It really is.
I'd kill one of the kids, but I'm not sure which.
Ask Sue if we can get a nickname.
Okay. When did you
say Gildor?
Gildor. I learned nicknames from Marnie, not Aaron. I think Aaron wants to date me.
I think Aaron.
I think Clayton Mackey does. Needs to answer the question.
Clayton McKee.
Oh, is that me?
Yeah, it's you. It's Aaron.
Well,
this is the show where you didn't talk very much.
Okay, I'm good. You're right. Still right. Well, actually. Doug even says I drank more than anybody else, but sadly, I'm still here. The point is...
Never sadly.
Never sadly. There would be two places for me, and Marnie touched on one.
I get to get two then, too.
It used to... Well, she gave three.
I know,
Marnie
I know.
Touching on your stuff.
What?
All right, we're running out of time.
Go ahead.
We need to get through this.
Go.
Back home at my grandparents' house where my mom grew up. I grew up with her parents. Would have been the shop, and oddly because in the barn it's where I had a little old RCA radio that took 17 minutes to warm up enough the tubes so I could listen to the radio. And he grew up
in that radio,
and it was an AM. Fuck you! It was an AM station I listened to. Listen to old music. I used to go out and just be alone by myself, listen to whatever music was on the radio, and work on whatever it was. And now it's come to. In my house. It's the shop that's in my house. My house, you all have been there. You know that there's a shop built into my house.
You get way too much joy out of that.
I do. No,
oh,
I don't.
Oh, seriously. No. Whoever's renting you that house should up the rent based on how much joy you get out of that.
Oddly, and by side note, I'm on the right here. On the right here, did you see the vacuum sitting on the bank?
I did. Oh! I did.
I knew it.
I thought you left it there as some kind of like this Hansel and Gretel.
Like Hansel and Gretel. This is how I get home.
A breadcrumb? Yes. No.
I was like, there is no fucking way Clayton Mackey, what's your name?
Yeah.
Rode by an abandoned vacuum cleaner.
On our way home tonight, we're stopping to get that.
Would you like Rainbow Cab to pick that up?
No, I can get it myself.
We are not.
They can't find
it. We are not dragging a lime green.
I can get it.
It is lime green.
I can get it. Trust me.
We are not taking that to Charlie's.
Rainbow can't. Fuck you. Rainbow Cab cannot get on the canal, the banks of the canal.
Anyway, we can walk it to the corner.
No, I will pull that. Trust me.
I know you will. Right. It's exactly what I said in my head.
Clayton, you'll take it on.
I'm going to give that homeless guy on that mattress that has nowhere to put his trash.
We have lost control.
We're going over time only because this is a valid point.
I know that. Because I know you can edit shit down.
Because now we're on vacuum, so I'll take over.
My Broadway segment, when you listen back to this, is going to be 3 seconds long. I saw Vita and then
and vacuum.
No, I think he's going to edit out the 15 minutes when you and Marnie are obsessing over that tea party lady.
Yeah, that's
who is she? I don't know.
Yeah, if I can get that out of here.
All right, I'll get rid of that too.
I don't know about anybody else. But again,
I'm offended.
I'm
try to hurry.
And my mother will understand this completely because I've found that I've. What?
That's funny.
Just admit it, you miss me.
Are you grabbing her tits or her tummy?
She did. We had a tit
grab. She's grabbing her terry cloth shorts.
No, it wasn't.
I'm wearing them again, the terry cloth shorts.
Believe me, I noticed.
All right, go ahead. They're absorbent and they match your toilet rug.
It was all for Buddy Early.
Oh my God, and she eats it all at Olive Garden.
So...
I am not dragging that fucking vacuum cleaner down the canal.
I will. I know how to do it. I'm a professional. Anyway... So
I'm a professional homeless people stealing shit.
But Buddy and I recycle.
I'm going to guarantee you, all that vacuum needs is a clean filter and it's ready to go.
And a sani wipe. Are you kidding me?
We can take it with us. They're in that drawer.
More people have come on that thing than Jan Brewer's face.
Well, duh.
Well, it's true. Because we learned earlier, no one's come on
Broadway.
On Broadway.
In our final few minutes of the show, I'd like to reiterate the fact that...
Clayton, you said there were Clayton two Mickey. Places.
There are. I'm getting ready to get the... May I just...
It was your workshop and the grandparents.
No.
No.
We started with the grandparents. But as everybody knows, you all who have been to my house... But have you been to my house?
Yes, I've been to your house.
You've walked by it.
I've been in your house.
Okay.
We were there for the meeting.
More than one occasion.
Oh, that's right. We had a meeting.
Yeah, where I had to write everything down.
How did that work out?
She's still bitter. She's still fucking bitter.
We lost the notes to that meeting, apparently. Right.
Yep, I still have them.
Somebody should have saved that shit. Well, yeah, we have to because Alistair doesn't know what to mean.
Exactly.
Write that down. Bathtub, stereo.
Glitter.
I work every single fucking thing out.
So the second place is going to be, and my mother will understand this, and I hope if she hasn't nodded off, she's got to be still listening.
Hi, Di.
Wake up! Does that help?
Yes, it
what is happening? What is going on?
Buddy is so like, I don't know what the fuck is going on.
It's been a long time without me, hasn't it?
Maybe not.
She thinks I'm on speed. That's the funny part.
You are.
I'm not.
She has a pool. She wants us to come over.
Oh, let's go.
Anyway, the point is, the second place, and my mom will understand this, the older my mom has...
She's going to pee her pants.
Aaron ran to the restroom. I don't know how much longer we're going to go. We may go till 10.
Tyler would like that.
Yeah, I know.
Buddy
I saw
would hate that.
My mother... God, really?
Go ahead.
The older that I get, just like my mom, the more that your home just becomes where you want to be. You're comfortable there. That's your place. That's your solace. That's where everything that you're comfortable with is. So for me, just like the shop... And my mom understands.
He's
going to
say
all...
Charlie's, isn't he?
No.
Okay.
But I get it.
For me, I would escape to the barn at home and just work in the workshop and work on whatever. If it was a tractor, if it was a truck, if it was a lawnmower, if it was... Who cares?
A vacuum.
Right. Not so much back home.
Not there.
Right.
But just
here, it's that addition to my house where I have a radio. I can listen to whatever music I want. It's my workshop. I can tear apart whatever the hell it is. I can work on, fix. And literally, I don't have to think about... Work in computers and clients. I literally can fix and do and work on whatever the hell it is. Your Al, while you were gone, your bike was in my shop. I worked on. I reattached the front light on your bike.
Oh, he leveled something.
I leveled the drink holder on your handlebars. I put a new backlight on your bike. And what it doesn't benefit me, but what drives me crazy was I've ridden with you so many places, and the backlight was an issue. And we know that. I fixed that. I repaired that. I've done that to vacuum.
But that's what I was going to say, is that that shop for you isn't just about you. You have helped so many people with that
true.
Shop.
True. And it doesn't come across on this show how much I love him. It never does.
It truly doesn't.
No, because it does not.
He and I, the whole time he was gone to
Broadway. Truly doesn't.
The whole time
not even a little
the whole time that he was gone to Broadway.
On Broadway?
Drake. Yes, it does. This one, I was texting him with all the repairs that happened in his house. I saved his house from burning down.
Nice.
Which
work.
He did. He
which
did.
Act, no, nice. That's not
that
true.
That was my great concern, was that house was going to burn down. No.
Nice which work. Actually was.
Was that after Doug Wilkie stole the vodka?
No, we still. We're looking for the video footage.
The
of
great
that.
Vodka right. caper.
But we also found out there's we also found out there's no cameras in Al's house, so we aren't going to find that footage. Well. But like,
I love how you think that. But remember what I told you. My TV is also a camera.
True,
love
but you don't know how to work it yet.
Stop talking. Don't say that on the air.
But he's at the restaurant. But, a lot is happening.
Now, however, the one thing that I did in his garage, in his kitchen, that I can talk about.
Oh, this is genius.
He's lived in that house. Is it 3 years you've been in that house?
Yes.
3 years. He's had one drawer in that house that he's never been able to open more than 6 inches.
Okay.
Only because when the shutters were installed, nobody measured anything. So I cut a half an inch off of a drawer facing. He has another drawer.
That's the greatest the gift like anyone's ever given me. I have another drawer to put shit in that no one needs.
Across from the fridge?
And we
yes. Nice. Because the shutter
right,
was
exactly.
just... Yeah. It was a question of like a cunt hair, as they would say in the pornography movie Flesh Gordon that gives that guy migraines.
Stop talking about
on Broadway?
On Broadway.
It's called Flesh Gordon, and it's called A Cunt Hair Away. And it seriously is this, but he fixed it, and
a
now it opens.
Can I go
word.
Now? Are you all done?
No, can you? Please, Al, tell. Where's your place of solace?
We are so far off.
Off.
I'm going to go with three, but I'm going to do something quickly, because I can only think of two.
We're already over. Nobody fucking cares.
What I like to do is go to Wonderland Drive on Camelback Mountain. And whenever I'm feeling kind of stressed, I like to drive up. You take Arcadia Drive up north. You go up the mountain. You go to Wonderview Drive. And you go. And I like to just sit at the top of that mountain. And I like to look out at all the lights in the city. And in my deviated brain, what I think is... Every person in every light represents a house. Every house you see. And so I think like every person in that house has some problem. And this is how I let go and let God, as they would say. And I think if you're giving it up to someone, like every single person there has something they have to give up that night before they go to bed. And I like look out at the valley and I think, what if all these people have problems, how important is mine? Like what are all these lights representing? And I always think and that's how I let go. Like mine can't be more important. Like what I'm going through can't be more important than like the average. So I have to let it go.
And you always refer to your problems as white women problems.
Right, because I always say, my favorite expression is, if money is your only problem, you have no problem, because you can make money. Right. You can always go somewhere and find, you can find a way to make money. But like, and I'm basically kind of healthy, except for being a big fat girl.
Stop.
But
By the way, Doug said he did not steal vodka, he borrowed it, and then
it
was replaced.
And he returned it from esmevodka.com right, from a country called, I believe it's pronounced France.
Francais.
I'm not sure.
Don't it?
So and that's the place that it's Wonderview Drive. Now, the other thing that I do, and I'm torn between the two, and since she went with three and you went with six, or I don't know.
We took
20 minutes with a vacuum cleaner on a homeless person trail.
I took an extra.
It's his show.
I took 45 seconds out of my own goddamn show.
I was on the same habit trail that you were looking for.
We're
cheese.
We're taking a vacuum to Charlie's.
Trying to get here.
We're gonna walk into Charlie's with a fucking vacuum. You watch me.
Where's the other place?
Where's it? So, if you don't get that, like, it's just a way for me to release. Whenever I feel stressed, you go somewhere and you look at everyone's problems and you just kind of put it in a blender and you think.
Facebook? Is that where you go?
Right. Not at all. But the
other—that's not real.
The other thing I like to do, and I—it came about organically one night. And I don't think I knew that I was moving yet. I want to say it was like the year before that I knew I was leaving Niagara Falls. And it was a warm summer night waiting for someone who I may or may not have been sleeping with to pick me up and drive me to the gay bars in Buffalo and do all that I had to do. And sitting on a warm spring night, you know that night, we're all from somewhere where it's usually like a different climate, where it's that first night where it's not just not cold. Right. You know the difference between it's not cold, but it's actually warm. And sitting there and feeling a breeze and feeling kind of at peace with the universe and knowing you're going somewhere more fun. And I went on some adventure that night that obviously changed me or did something different. And now when I go home, there's always that night. And I did it this time. My sister was in bed because she goes to bed at 7 fucking p.m. in the evening. Which, in case you're doing the math, is 4 p.m.
Barks?
No, the other
one. No,
they both. Turns out they both bark. We'll go into that next week. God. So anyways, I like to sit on the porch, and it's late at night by their standards. It's like 9 p.m.
Yeah.
But I like to sit there on a, and it happened to be a beautiful moon, and I was just sitting on the porch of my parents' house where I grew up, and it was just that taking in, like, of all the shit that went on when I lived there, and, you know, the tortures of high school, the blah, blah, this, the blah, blah, that, the bad boyfriends, the whatever you want to say. And I just sit there and you feel that warm summer breeze and you just
summer
think...
Summer breeze.
It makes me feel fine.
Broadway?
It's going through the jasmine of my mind on Broadway.
Broadway!
I got seals and crofts down, bitch. Don't even think you're going to tempt me with that one. But it's one of those things where I feel like woman triumphant. It's a very woman triumphant moment for me to think, I survived this fucking city.
Little Helen Reddy-ish.
I am woman, hear me roar.
Hear me roar.
Uh-huh. But, you know, I mean, it's very peaceful for me there to just think, like, this city treated me like shit and loved me, but I came out of it the other way, and I still can come back and sit here on the porch in the same woman triumphant pose and enjoy my time there.
I love it.
I'm sure that'll be edited in post. Good luck.
I'm not sure if it will
just
be or not.
Just 10 minutes
we'll
over.
Nobody
cares.
The download.
I know.
I'll talk to you all after the show. That's it. It's 9:10. It's a Tuesday night here in Central Phoenix. Thank you for joining us. It's the show with Clayton McKee. That's me. It's Buddy Early, Marnie Ryer, and Al Perkins. Tonight we have the special privilege of having Aaron in studio with us.
Yay!
We will be here again next Tuesday if you care to join. If not, well, fuck you.
I might even show up.
Buddy might show up, and he might not. He might have snacks. I know it's an odd thing. We'll talk to you again next Tuesday right here on Q Talk, Aaron.
Well, you've managed to do it again. Waste an entire 2 hours listening to the show with Clayton McKee, Marnie Ryer, Al Perkins, and Buddy Early. Tune in again next week for more adult conversations, a couple drinks, and some good times with the gang. On behalf of Q Talk America, this is Siri, saying goodnight.